those of you who don't know what the absolute truth is, let me start by telling you that I no longer am. I once had a physical body, but I gave it up long ago when I died. I manifest my ideas and my intellect through my blood, my pulse. I am your Bradley. I am his mind, his intellect, his will, his knowledge. I give these ideas to six young men who will carry them.
It's 4 minutes after 12 o'clock. Oh, that may not mean much to you right now, but when you look back in the bigger realm of things, you'll realize that when it's 4 minutes after 12 o'clock on a Saturday night, brain damage is 4 minutes late. says a man to his therapist. And they may be the couple down the street. They may be the police. Or maybe all Catholics. Or maybe all Protestants. Or maybe all Jews. Whoever they are, the patient is convinced that they want him and will pursue him until he is caught. He imagines plots against him. He is being watched and secretly manipulated by evil forces. The enemy knows his thoughts, habits, and whereabouts at all times. And people with fears and delusions of this sort are generally diagnosed as paranoid. Freudian analysts who encounter a person suffering from paranoia try to understand the conflicts underlying the person's fears. Consider, for example, the case of N. This patient continually rails against homosexuals, whom he detests with a violent passion. After a brief, unsuccessful marriage followed by impotence, he began to experience delusions of persecution, according to which the CIA and the FBI were continually observing him with the ultimate purpose of getting him to submit to the sexual advances of Richard Nixon. He gave up all attempts at heterosexual sex because he would not make love in public, i.e., in front of the lurking agents. He soon came to understand also that his impotence had been imposed on him via laser rays by Nixon's agents. Satellites specifically sent up for this purpose began to bombard him with homosexual messages. Finally, he constructed a special protective hat fitted with a highly complex electrical jamming device. He wore this hat continually, at home and in public places, including restaurants and work. He was soon dismissed. Even so, the messages that he should submit to Nixon increased in intensity and began to penetrate at times. Around this period, he took all his jackets to a tailor and had the tailor sew up the slits or flaps in the back of the jackets. He implored his male acquaintances to do likewise, lest they be taken for slot jacket ass panderers. He deplored tight dungarees because they revealed buttocks too openly and therefore constituted a disgraceful invitation to sodomy. He complained that the CIA was spreading rumors that he was a homosexual. Indeed, they had contrived to find a double for himself and a friend and photographed them, the doubles, in disgusting homosexual acts, all for the purpose of blackmail, so that he might submit to the homosexual importunings of the anarcho-communist sodomite Gerald Ford, who, as he now came to realize, was really behind the conspiracy. Nixon, it now turned out, was just a front. Ford, he believed, succeeded in having his landlord evict him from his apartment, so that he would be forced to live in the local YMCA among faggots. And this was meant to be a softening up tactic. Case comes from Erlei and Goldberg, 1979, page 372. And this particular excerpt taken from the Psychodynamic Perspective book on abnormal psychology. Always a lot of fun. What can be the meaning behind this patient's confused thoughts? Are they to be taken literally? Certainly N consciously hated homosexuals. He even began to talk about destroying them. Is this simply a case of a man fearing retribution from people he hates? Well, for the Freudian, a face value acceptance of a patient's complaints is never enough. In fact, such a reading often contradicts the true explanation of a problem. A psychodynamic explanation of any disorder is always based on the interpretation of symptoms. Where unconscious conflicts, then, are being masked by envy, fear, and hatred of homosexuals. First, we call the defense mechanism known as projection, in which a person projects onto others his or her own unacceptable desires or impulses. It happened to me just the other day. Unable to entertain these thoughts or wishes in the conscious mind because of the unbearable anxiety they cause, the person attributes them to others. And in this case, a psychodynamic interpretation would suggest that N was actually attracted to homosexuals, but such feelings were so repulsive and anxiety-provoking that he banished them from consciousness. Instead of feeling himself attracted to men, he imagined that other men were attracted to him. Underlying this defense mechanism, according to Freudians, lies the true conflict. What N really fears is not that the homosexuals will get him, but that he will become one himself, succumbing to taboo impulses that he feels but must deny. And there we have it. Our society, our 1990 society, actually, if you want to be technical, that was 1970s society, but I think, if anything, we're moving backwards. Oh, yes. Abnormal psychology. Things you'll hear about here on this this radio program. Our telephone number is 632-6901. We have a special guest who's going to be showing on about various other things that might be of interest to some of you and might be scary to some of you. But it's supposed to be educational, and that's the entire point of the whole thing. Speaking of education, a lot of education about AIDS is finally getting out. Look what it had to take to get this to happen. But if some good can come out of it, then maybe we'll all benefit somehow. So we'll be talking about that as well. If people have any comments or questions about the whole Magic Johnson incident that's now going on, please call us. This is your forum for speaking out and voicing whatever happens to be on your mind. So let's, why not start with a few quick ones and then see if our special guest has any words that he'd like to say to you, our troubled listeners. Because everybody these days is troubled. Hello, troubled listener.
Hi,
on the air.
Emmanuel.
I'm doing just fine.
What do you think about Magic Johnson, man?
I'm very sad about it.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah, it's one of the last things that you would expect, but then again, you know, one of the last things you'd expect should be one of the first things you expect in this kind of thing. You
exactly.
Know? It can happen to anybody.
What was that whole big thing you were talking about in the beginning? I didn't quite understand it.
Oh, it was a reading. We always do a reading at the beginning of the show, but this reading, instead of being from religion, was from an abnormal psychology pamphlet or magazine.
It did seem pretty
They're not too far apart when you think of it.
Wait, say that again?
They're not all that far apart, abnormal psychology and religion. You have to be kind of abnormal to be into religion in the first place, I think.
Yeah, kind of, because like, if you really start getting into it, some of it's kind of weird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anything organized, I think you have to be kind of abnormal to get into.
Anything too organized.
Right.
You know, too structural.
Right, because, you know, the point of being an individual is to sort of rebel against any kind of organization. And I don't care what kind of organization it is, an individual is going to rebel against it.
You got a point there.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, just wanted to say hi and all that cool stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, has AIDS affected your life yet?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, it does take 7 years, so, you know.
Not always. It doesn't always take 7 years.
Well, it could, but, I mean, I don't think so, you know. I mean, if it did, I'm sure I would have known about it, but...
Well, do you think you know everything you need to know to be safe?
For the most part, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not going to go around using IV drugs, you know.
Yeah, but you know that's not the only way to get it.
I know, you can, you know, sexual kind. It's basically the exchange of bodily fluids.
Right? Uh-huh. Any kind of sexual contact. Any kind. Because Magic Johnson got it through heterosexual sex.
That's how he got it?
Yep.
No way.
See, now you don't believe that's possible, do you?
No, I believe it.
A lot of people have trouble believing that, but it is possible. In fact, in Africa, there's a strain of the disease that goes from male to female and female to male both as rapidly. And I'm amazed that it just hasn't hit here yet. I mean, it's probably going to at some point.
I hope not.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to cure this damn thing, but
it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a long time.
It's going to take a lot of national and international effort.
Maybe this is the new black plague.
Well, imagine if AIDS was airborne. You know, of course it's not.
That would suck.
And a lot of people, yeah, it certainly would suck. A lot of people think, you know, that it's just about airborne, the way they treat people with AIDS.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not. But if it were, we'd all be dead, really, because there's no way to prevent this thing.
And how are you going to fight something with your immune system if it's gone?
Exactly. But there is a way to prevent this particular disease. We are fortunate. Those of us who do not have it, there's no reason to get it if you're educated.
You just got to be safe. Be careful.
Right.
And hope you don't get any infected blood.
Right. Well, I think those days are probably gone. I think there's enough screening, but who knows? Who knows? If it takes a long time for it to show up, you don't really know, you know?
Yeah, who's your special guest this week?
Well, it's a surprise.
Oh.
But this is a special guest with a message, okay?
Is he like on the radio, on the air, or is he going to be on the phone?
He's going to be on the air. You won't have to worry about a phone connection. But he's got a message, and he's got a message for people like you.
Like me?
Yes, exactly like you.
Oh, wow, that's cool. I can't wait now.
We're custom tailored to meet your needs.
Oh, man, this is so exciting. Well, I can't wait.
Try to contain yourself. It's going to be a little while, but it's going to be coming soon.
Sure thing. 632-6901.
All right, thanks for calling.
Out.
All right, it's great when people advertise our phone number for us. Good evening. Morning.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I don't think...
See, you're holding your phone too close to the radio.
I feel so bad of, you know, what happened to Magic Johnson. We got a lot of, you know, fellas here.
Uh-huh.
You know, it really, you know, it hit home.
Yeah, you sound really distraught over it.
Yeah.
So, I kind of hesitate to ask, but has this woken you up in any kind of way?
Yeah, I'm really afraid now, you know.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, it's in all of the, you know, heterosexual, you know. You can have sex with a girl, you know.
I love me a pussy.
And that, you know, you could just get it that way.
Uh-huh.
It's just really messed up thing, you know.
Well, it is. It's a very messed up thing, and you can get it many ways, but you can also prevent it many ways. So keep that in mind. Thanks for calling. Good evening.
How you doing?
All right.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you know Andrew Goldberger, right?
I know him well, yes. He's one of our first callers on this
program. You wear a Grateful Dead t-shirt, is that true?
Say again?
You wear a Grateful Dead t-shirt?
Sir, I wear all kinds of t-shirts. A Grateful Dead t-shirt certainly would not be inconceivable.
Okay.
In fact, the entire Grateful Dead wardrobe would not be inconceivable.
Okay, now the reason I really called was that over this past week, I was up in Canada, and I was reading an article that 99% of population in North America, of all North America, including Canada, the United States, and Mexico, that they masturbate while in the shower, 99% of the people, and 1% listen to music.
Okay, and you're going to ask me what song I sing when I'm in the shower, right?
You know what?
I heard that. That Sam Donaldson said that to Ronald Reagan. I know all about it. He said that to Ronald Reagan at a White House reception, and then he asked Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, do you sing in the shower? And I think that Reagan said, no, I don't. And he said, I thought so, and walked away.
No.
That's how I heard this story.
The answer was, what type of music do they listen to?
What type of music?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. How am I supposed to know these things?
I guess I know what percent of the population that you're in.
Look, if you don't believe the story to start with, you know, you can say you don't know and get away with it.
I read it, though.
Uh-huh.
They say, you know, if you want to find out, ask that question. And they'll say, if they say no, then you know that they're in that 99%. If they say, I think it's classical, then you know that they're in the 1%.
Well, first of all, maybe they don't take showers either. But it's also very dangerous to listen to music when you're in the shower because, you know, you'd have to plug it in somewhere, and if it drops on the ground, you get electrocuted. People don't know that.
Okay, now also what I want to
You can't get electrocuted when you're masturbating. Yeah. There's no way.
No, no. This whole thing with AIDS.
Yeah.
And having, you know, sex with the other, sex with the opposite sex, obviously.
Right.
You know, why don't people just masturbate?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's either Dear Abby or Ann Landers. I always get them mixed up. They came out in favor of that a couple of months ago, and they said, you know, it doesn't hurt anybody, so there. Don't feel guilty.
I see. If you're,
that's true.
If you're getting ready to have sex with a girl, okay, you're in the room. Instead of just, well, you just, like, look at each other and just, like, watch each other masturbate. What's wrong with that?
Well, mutual masturbation is one thing. In fact, they were talking about this in Newsday today. That's one thing that is perfectly safe. There's no way you can get any kind of disease from that.
Exactly.
Except atrophy of your brain, of course, but that's something we're not going to get into.
Yeah, but, you know, but I mean, by the way, I do listen to classical music in the shower.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with listening to music and masturbating in the shower at the same time.
That's a bad idea.
But I don't think anybody does that.
Like, you want to hear Two Lives to a Song?
I don't think so.
I guess I can't play it on the air. I can send it to you.
Yeah, send me anything. People send me all kinds of things, please.
Sure.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Hey, take care.
And the address to send it to is Brain Damage, care of WUSB, State University of New York, at Stony Brook. Where's that? Stony Brook, New York. Right, thank you. 11794. 11794 is our zip code, which gets our mail here zippity-quick. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
How you doing?
I'm just fine.
Mr. Johnson, you're talking about magic?
Yeah.
My personal opinion, well, when they play around with pigs, you can get in trouble. The guy entertained, he was a great player. But when you play with pigs, you know.
What are you talking about, playing with pigs?
How else would he get the disease we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Sir, what century are you calling from? Good evening.
You cheating the man.
Hello? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, pick it up. Come on.
Pick it up. Come on. Let's get on with it. We got people waiting here. Yeah, go ahead. How you doing?
Hello.
Yes, it's probably the biggest moment of your life. Don't waste it.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the topic on AIDS?
That's not really the topic. It's just one of the things we're discussing.
Uh-huh. Well,
you can talk about whatever you feel like. You know, it's a democracy.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I still think AIDS is a big epidemic in the United States. Uh-huh. But, you know, that guy with the classical music, what are you talking about classical music in the show?
I don't know. Why? Do you have a difference of opinion?
Yeah, what kind of different nonsense is that?
Well, what kind of music do you listen to?
I don't listen to no damn classical in the shower.
Okay, what kind of music do you listen to? How many people are on the extension here?
I listen to my favorite singer is Lionel Richie.
Lionel Richie, yeah. That works. That works. Listen,
yeah,
you guys are on a cordless phone, I can tell.
Excuse me?
You guys are on a cordless phone.
Yeah, I'm a rapper.
Yeah, you got to watch that because your neighbors could be listening. Your neighbors will be listening in on your phone conversation right now.
I killed them.
Well, all right. That only solved the problem temporarily, though. Good evening.
Do you pee in a shower?
That's a very personal question. Very, extremely personal there. I'll have to think about it for a while. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Okay, special guest is getting angry because it's past his bedtime, so we're going to go to him now. And people, he's got a message for you. Got a message we've been trying to get out to you over the past few weeks, past few months, but you haven't listened. You haven't listened. Message, for God's sake, people, that music that you listen to, and whether it's in the shower or whether it's in your homes, whether your cars, while you're jogging, God knows what else. That music is killing you. That music not only is killing you, but when you're dead, you're going to go to a place you don't want to go to. And I don't mean Hoboken, New Jersey. I mean someplace much worse than that. This is your last chance, okay? Your last chance to listen to the words of somebody who knows. And this is the Reverend Pastor Fleathers? I'm sorry, I forget what his name is, and his name is on the tape, which is in the machine. I'm sorry, Pastor Fletcher Brothers, that's who it is, from Freedom Village, USA, Lakemont, New York. All right, some things to bear in mind here. If you insist on going to hell, at least now you'll know why. And when we come back, we can discuss it. And if there are still a few heathens out there that have not listened to us, we can mock you and make examples of you and that kind of thing.
You have your scriptures handy. Let's go tonight to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. When you have found Exodus chapter 32, just put your finger there or marker there. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of what's wrong with rock music. I have been preaching against rock music for a long time. There were times or years and days when it was a very lonely subject to talk about. You were considered a wacko. You were considered to be just a fundamental Bible thumper. And yet in recent days, even the President of the United States, school teachers, parents, educators, politicians of all sorts have come out and said this stuff is bad. So it's not just us fundamentalists that are saying it any longer. It's about anybody that has a lick of sense in their head that deals with young people. There is no way in this world that you can deny the effect that rock music has on young people. When we started several years ago, we had to talk about backward masking. Well, we don't have to talk much about backward masking anymore. It's frontward masking that's vulgar and filthy and satanic. We talked about free love and the suggestion of free love and the infiltration of drugs into rock music. We don't have to talk much about that anymore. That's pretty well bygone old kindergarten stuff. Today we talk about suicide. We talk about Satan worship, the occult. We talk about rock stars that have satanic seances before they go on the stage. We talk about rock stars that openly in magazines make quotes about trying to cast demons into records before young people buy them. Matter of fact, rock music, the rock industry is changing so rapidly that I'll not talk to you much tonight about the lyrics or mention much about individual bands because it just waxes worse and worse and worse every day. The other day there was a newspaper article where they've now handed down in New Jersey 117, I think, indictments against one group. And they are proving now that organized crime is behind rock music to a great degree. Well, that's nothing shocking. Organized crime is behind drugs. Organized crime is behind prostitution. So why not get involved in the music that's turning our young people into sluts and turning our young people into potheads and drug heads and all the rest of the stuff? So that doesn't come as a great surprise either. But the bottom line is, I will say again, as I've said so many times, I believe that rock music is the number one enemy of a teenager today in America. Yes, listen, there would be drugs without rock music, but nowhere near to the degree that we have it today. There would be teen suicide without rock music, but nowhere to the degree that we have it today. There would be rebellion, but nowhere near to the degree that we have it today. And I believe now in my 12 years of dealing in the ministry with young people and before that, and I believe that having dealt directly with thousands of young people, and I believe that operating one of the largest homes for troubled young people in America qualifies us to know a little bit about the subject. And I can't remember the time when I took in a young person into this facility who was involved in drugs, who was involved in extramarital or premarital sex, whose life had been destroyed through maybe abortion, or whose life was messed up at home, that they were rebellious, that they were in the sewer, if you will, of life. I can't remember ever taking a young person in those circumstances that rock music did not play a major part in their life. So we don't have to go, I don't think, any longer and prove that rock music is bad. You only have to listen to the news accounts. You only have to read your newspaper. as recently as yesterday. This headline in the USA Today newspaper, 10/30/86. This is the third update I've done on the What's Wrong with Rock Music message in just the last 3 or 4 years. And from the time I recorded the last update till now, it has blatantly gotten much worse. We're going to talk a little bit about the lyrics, or the general lyrics, the general trend. You know what's wrong with most of those lyrics? I can't read them to you. You know, we used to be able to read the lyrics we were talking about. Now we can't even read the lyrics because they talk about sadomasochism. They talk about anal rape. They talk about cutting the skin off from kids and watching them bleed to death. I kill children. I love to see them die. I kill children. I love to watch their mothers cry. They're blatantly satanic. They suggest having sex with the devil. They suggest killing your parents. The vile filth and garbage of this world is blatantly sung now in rock music. So we can't talk much about the specific lyrics per se because they change every day. If I were to read to you Motley Crue's album, by the time this tape was produced and sent out, it would be old hat, because Motley Crue will come out with something more vulgar in the days to come. Mr. Ozzy Osbourne is always thinking up new trash, new filth, new garbage, a new way of enticing people. He's got a new satanic theme now that he's running with in his concerts. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. We print a rock music report, and quite honestly, by the time the ink is dry, new things have come along to horrify people who love God and love morality. But there are certain things about rock music that never change. We'll deal with those things tonight. Steve Booker was a normal 13-year-old kid. But as he entered the world of rock music, he became defiant and antisocial and spent hours at a time listening to music such as the Kiss groups earlier on and the AC/DC, and then it went on and on and on and started. You know, it's an interesting thing, but Kiss seems so mild today. You know, AC/DC seems so mild today, compared to people that masturbate on stage and have oral sex on stage and or anal sex and all types of things advocated now and openly to our young people. You know, AC/DC with its album covers and all the rest of it earlier on, you know, it's so passive to album covers that actually portray demons and witchcraft and Satanism. You know, that which horrified 2 years ago even seems mundane today because of the new horrors that are being propagated by rock music. As typical parents, his family had no idea that the LPs that were filled with songs about drugs and rebellion, or that AC/DC sang songs of revolt and self-destruction. However, on March 27, 1981, when Steve propped a gun against the floor, put the barrel to his forehead, and pulled the trigger, the Bookers began to search for an answer to the question asked by all parents who lose a child to suicide, why? The answer came through Steve's music. Mentioning several suicidal and violent songs from Steve's favorite tapes, the father said anyone would have to be a fool to think that it had no influence. We're not saying that he killed himself only because he listened to music or to the lyrics like this. But if it was in his mind and he already had this suggestion, the music gives suicide credibility. It promotes it, encourages it, and advertises it. John Tanner, a young man that we had on our television program, showed his story. At age 16, he moved from a big city to a small Midwestern town. He felt he needed to, quote, act tough and look tough. Part of his new image included listening to drug-promoting, self-destruction songs by Black Sabbath, groups like Blue Cheer, Led Zeppelin, and Grand Funk groups. That's before suicide was even a popular message. And yet they know of 38 people who have killed themselves because of one popular song. And there's a lawsuit about it right now, so I can't get into it. But 38, they've traced 38 kids who've killed themselves from one song. Alice Cooper sang a song about going out and hanging yourself And they have found as many as 16, I believe is the last count, 12 to 16 young people that they know of who've gone out and hung themselves after listening to that song. We find stories of the young man down in Eden, North Carolina, who jumped off a bridge in front of a car, left a suicide note, said, "Tell the Scorpions their number one fan has come to join them. I've flown to the rainbow because their song says, fly to the rainbow. You're not a part of this world. You're part of a mystical world." And so a boy writes out in a note and says, "Tell the Scorpions I've flown to the rainbow." And he walks out onto I-40 and jumps off in front of a car and kills himself. I believe that Derry would tell you that his daughter might well be alive today if it were not for the influence of rock music that got her into the drugs, that got her into the rebellion. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? The rock music comes, and then comes the drugs, and then comes the rebellion. And my friend, it'll suck you in just like a giant vacuum cleaner. It sucked John Tanner in. Of course, the thoughts of suicide, quote, were instantaneous, but they did come. Thoughts, he insists, came directly from his music. I, quote, think from being real dedicated to Black Sabbath because they are really depressing, that I got from them a real deep depression, and I'd say that that's where the suicide stemmed from. And at a desperation move one night, John finally decided to end his life and to find the, quote, peace and happiness, quote, Black Sabbath promised would come, quote, at the end of his days. He skipped school and stayed in his room all day listening to albums, especially Black Sabbath and Grand Funks. By 5:15 p.m., the music had done its work. John was psyched up enough to place a shotgun to his chin and pull the trigger. Miraculously, John lived, but his entire face had been blown away. Quote, "I thought I'd pull the trigger, and then I wouldn't feel any pain," John explains, but life-saving and reconstructive procedures have cost John much pain, as well as time and money. Eric Anderson of St. Louis Park, Minnesota, became interested in rock music when he was about 11. And though his parents didn't particularly like the music, they never considered that it might harm their son. Soon, he acquired a tape collection of his favorite groups: Van Halen, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, AC/DC, Quiet Riot, and Motley Crue, and had his walls covered with bizarre posters. It wasn't long before Eric and his friends were listening to heavy metal rock music day and night. The family had MTV on cable, and his mother, Marge, says, quote, "Eric was known to have stayed up and watched it until 6 in the morning." Though the Andersons knew that their son was hurting and tried to communicate with him, neither thought his music was affecting him. However, the night before he died, Eric and his friends even held a séance in which they attempted to contact the spirits of the dead, dead rock stars. The next day, he placed a .22 rifle to his head and did the bidding of his hero, Ozzy Osbourne, who sings, quote, "Suicide is the only way out," end quote. It was only after his tragic death that his parents realized that the sensitive boy, who loved his family and didn't want to hurt them, had become convinced by his heavy metal music that suicide was the only solution. Our Father, I pray tonight that as we take a good look at this subject of rock music, I pray you'd open our minds. I pray you'd open our hearts. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd speak to hearts tonight, not only those in this room, but those that would hear this tape. Dear God, might we in some small way have a bearing on them to sit up and realize and think for a few moments about the wicked, evil influence of this music. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I said that we couldn't talk about much of the lyrics or many of the new groups, but the vulgarity and the filth and the garbage that is going on amongst the new groups is just absolutely filth. We have songs today that talk about incest. We have songs today that advocate suicide, as I've mentioned. We're also moving into sadomasochism. We're moving into killing of babies. We're moving into pedophilia ideas of having sex with children. Macrophilia, where we're going to have sex with the dead. and on and on it goes. Interesting, here in 1030-86 in this USA Today newspaper article, it says troubled teens turn to music. Not mom. Just read the first couple of paragraphs. Kids in trouble will turn to music, drugs, friends, and even video games before they'll talk to their parents or other adults, a new survey shows. Listening to music was the copping out technique and coping technique of choice amongst 3,600 rural Minnesota teens surveyed by the University of Minnesota Medical School. The teens ranked 54 coping options, including talking with their parents and other adults, but that was near the bottom of the list. Moms were 31st and dads 48th out of 54 coping techniques for young people. Listening to music was the number one idea for coping for these teenagers. I keep hearing people say that there's nothing wrong with rock music. But I believe tonight that there are hundreds and thousands of young people, like those young people I read to you just a few moments ago, who would be alive today. Young people who have killed themselves either intentionally or accidentally because of the effects of rock music. People say to me, Pastor, what's wrong with rock music? Everything. There's not one thing right with rock music. And there are four very specific M's about rock music, of which I want to talk to you about tonight. Four M's of rock music. First is what I call the music itself, or let's talk about the beat. Dr. Joe Stuzzi, who, by the way, himself was a former professional rock musician, said this in an interview in September of 1985. Number one, he said, music does affect behavior. It affects our moods, our attitudes, our emotions, and our behavior. It affects us psychologically and physiologically. How many of you go to the dentist in your life? How many of you go to the dentist? Okay, how many of you like going to the dentist? Okay, let's mark those that are sadomasochistic. We have some. You like going to the dentist, Brian? It turns you on, huh? Gives you a great buzz. You what? You don't get, he doesn't get cavities that way. What's the first thing that happens when you walk into the dentist? Have you ever noticed that they play some music? Huh? Let me ask you what kind of music they play. Huh? Do they play the bebop, get out there, and boogie to boogie to boogie to boogie to boogie type of music? Huh? Huh? They play Kmart music. All right. What kind of music do you think that... Nice, easy-going, soft music. You know why they do that? They want to relax you. Now, first of all, can I tell you something? They can play all the music they want to. They will never relax me in a dentist waiting office. I don't care what. They'll never relax me in that office. They'll never relax me in that chair. And Mrs. Jackson back there, my secretary, will tell you that I hold the record.
Excuse me just one second here. We just wanted to step in to relax you for a moment with this.
God told me to skin you alive.
Wanna die, of course you have. But I won't till I get my revenge. Make fuck, fuck, fun too many ways. But I don't wanna see people anymore. Things I never ever saw before. But it's even for the shit they are. Next one is a getaway with me. And I'm gonna take for a day.
those are the dead Kennedys from Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables. I Kill Children, the song alluded to a little earlier by the Reverend Fletcher Brothers, who we are currently listening to. Well, not currently listening to, but throughout the course of the program we're listening to various things he has to say, speaking of rotting vegetables. And we'd like to know what our listeners have to think about that kind of thing. Now, the radio station, a few people have been panicking, thinking the radio station has been taken over by the religious zealots. No, no, no. Not yet, anyway. But we're still safe. We still have our Dead Kennedys records and our Ozzy Osbourne records and all kinds of other things that are used to contaminate your minds. Of course, that's the only reason we do this kind of thing, is to contaminate people's minds. We're going to go back to Reverend Fletcher Brothers and his words of wisdom. And we'd like to hear your words of wisdom when we're done doing that. Don't panic. But listen carefully, because these words will come back to haunt you many times.
Probably have broken more dental appointments than any man living on the face of the earth. I look forward to breaking them. I look for excuses to break them. I pray in the morning, dear God, help some emergency come up so that I can break my dental appointment. Matter of fact, I'll say to Brother Norman, you call me and tell me we got a big problem about 11 o'clock, because I got a dental appointment at 11 o'clock, and I want you to... Matter of fact, I will drag my feet. I will leave the office late, trying to hold out for the last moment to see if somebody might call and there might be some reason I can break that appointment. I don't like going to the dentist. But they play that nice, soft, easy music, don't they? Huh? That's to get your mind off the pain that is about to take place in your body, okay? You say, no sweat, Pastor. You don't have to worry about the pain because they'll give you Novocaine. That's right. That's when they take that needle 18 inches long and stick it right straight out through the top of your head. You're a dummy if you believe that, friend. They come and say, I'm going to give you a shot of Novocaine so you won't feel it. Then they lie to you and tell you you're only going to feel the first couple of pricks. You're right. You're only going to feel the first couple of pricks with that needle, until the Novocaine wears off. Then you find out that dodo used you for a pincushion. And all them other things that you couldn't feel, they're sore than the devil now. You come back from the dentist's office. You try to drink some coffee or some water. It dribbles down your chest. I mean, you look like a slob. You know what the interesting thing is? There's nothing to this. So how come you're putting that bib on me? That's a good indication somebody's going to bleed. And you'll notice the nurse doesn't have one on. And the dentist doesn't have one on. You're the one that's got it on, right? So what they do, they play this nice, easy, relaxing music. Why? Because music affects. If it doesn't, sometime when you get your first speeding ticket, well, there's a up-tempo song on the radio. You remember I told you that. You're driving along and you got easy listening music on, or some nice easy gospel music on. There's nothing to it. But you get something that goes boogity 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 boogity, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to start going boogity 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 boogity. And the next thing you know, there's going to be some red lights behind you. Now, you do this. You get out of the car and go back and say, Mr. Policeman, you aren't going to believe this. But you see, the problem was, I didn't listen to my pastor when he told me music affected me, and I am learning a good lesson right now. And you know what I've been doing? I've been going boogity, 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 boogity. And now, you wouldn't want to mess up my experiment and give me a ticket now, would you? And then that's going to be another lesson that you're going to learn about police officers. They don't buy those kind of stories, all right? Now, all right, Dr. Seuss said it affects our moods, it affects our attitudes, it affects our emotions, and it affects our behavior. Now, they have done scientific studies with monkeys, very close to some of you dorm boys. They have done scientific studies with monkeys, and they have been able to drive monkeys to frenzy with music, and actually get them to perform sexual relations in the cages by simply stimulating them through music. They have been able to drive certain animals. I don't know whether they use rats or whether they use girls from girls' dormitory, but they have been able to drive certain animals basically bananas. I thought it was interesting. A year or so ago, they captured or kidnapped one of our envoys over in Italy. It was interesting that the whole time they had him in captivity, when he got out and they tried to deprogram him, they tried to brainwash him, they tried to do, he said, day in and day out, they pumped me with rock music. I thought that was interesting. Now, if you know anything about Nazi Germany, if you know anything about how Stalin and his boys operated in the Soviet Union, one of the things that they would use to try and drive people bananas, to break down their will, was they would put headphones on them and they would pump squealing, pulsating, vibrating sounds into their ears. And that would, I mean, that would penetrate their brain and cause damage. Now, Dr. Sissy goes on to say this. Music can make us feel relaxed. It can make us feel scared. Isn't it interesting? You're watching a horror story. Huh? Horrible. Mrs. Cotting comes out of a back, dark area. She's about ready to pounce on some poor, unexpecting little child. Along comes the good fairy, Mrs. Gilbert, on her hoverer, you know, her broom with a hover on it. Now, all right, here, we got a spooky story. Would you agree with me that there is music that they use in those spook-type movies? You know, that's supposed to get you all nervous and jerky. You'll notice they don't play the Tennessee Waltz in a Halloween flick. Okay? Now, you watch some of the old westerns. Somebody's just about ready to creep around the corner and shoot somebody, and there's certain... Haven't you ever wondered where the music came from? They're 500 miles out in the wilderness. Somebody's creeping around behind a cactus out there, and there's a whole orchestra out in the desert. Have you noticed that? Now, there is certain types of music that can be used to scare you. There are certain type of patriotic themes. You don't play the Star Spangled Banner at funerals. Do you? Would you agree with me tonight that there is some music you would consider funeral music? Da, 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 da. Now, that is also interchangeable for weddings. Now, would you agree with me that there's patriotic music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's funeral music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's scary type music? Yes. Would you agree with me that there's relaxing type music? Yes. Matter of fact, there is also boogie type music. There is music that'll make you happy. There is music that will make you romantic. There is music that will pump you up. There is music that will depress you. Man, I tell you what, have a fight with your girlfriend or break up with your girlfriend or go through a breakup in a home or lose your love, if you will, and then turn on a country and western song and have some, I done lost my baby last night. She done dumped me for my best friend. Poor loser is he, sucker. You know, I mean, all right. Am I right? All right. Now, okay? Okay? Dr. Stussy noted something else. He said repetition increases our preference for that which is repeated. And it gives us retention of the message. Repetition causes us to like something more. The more you're around something, the more you'll get used to it. And it will also cause you to retain the message. You know what? I hear kids say, well, I don't listen to the lyrics. Well, how come you're singing them? You may not listen to them, but you've got them in your brain. Because I can take a song and do just a little bit and play fill in the lines, and you can fill them in. My son is 7 years old. We bought him a cathedral tape. He got a little radio and cassette recorder for his birthday, and we bought him a cathedral tape. You know what? He's got those songs memorized. We were playing it on the way to Rochester today and in the car, and Jeremy, you could hear him right in the back seat singing right. He was there. He knew them all. Now listen, we are programmable. And what I said to you this morning about the devil, listen to me, the devil knows how to program you. And I believe with all of my heart, the devil has programmed two generations of young people for absolute total destruction through his music. Now, the Bible teaches very plainly that for everything God has, the devil has a counterpart. And as I said to you this morning, the Lord has his music. But so does the devil have his music. You know what? He would not. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. The devil wouldn't be the devil if he didn't have music. The devil's got everything else God has. He has his apostles. He has his servants. He has his churches. He has everything else. Listen, the devil has to have his music. Because he has to have everything that God has. So what he has done is over recent years. Listen, he did not come out in 1960s. He did not come out and say, all right, here's a song about sadomasochism. There's a couple of songs on here about worshiping the devil. Here's a song about sacrificing a friend to the devil. Here's a song about butchering your mother. And for our top 10 round out, this is called Murder by the Numbers. And it tells you to go out and kill people that you think are a bore. Bump off your entire family and whatever. Now, hold it now. Matty, the rest of you, Mrs. Donnelly, some of you that have been around for years and years and years and years and years. Now listen, Brother Decker was a pipsqueak in the 60s. How old are you now? 29, all right. 1960, let's go back 26 years ago. He was 3 years old. Can you see Brother Decker going in and saying, Mommy, listen to the music, can you? No. Okay? All right? So that wasn't, all right? He wasn't even born yet. I mean, really, he was 3 years old. He was a baby. You ask Maddie if her generation would have tolerated that trash. Let me tell you something, young people. You don't know this, but in my generation, and I was in school in the 60s, if some teacher had walked up and said homosexuality was all right, my dad and a bunch of other dads would have been down there and they'd have strung him up. And if any school board people had gotten in the way, they'd have been strung up. So the devil didn't come along with his sadomasochistic themes and his satanic themes and whatever. He came in with a group called the Beatles with a new hairstyle and a new beat. And everybody thought they were cute. And that one group right there has done more to destroy young people than any other group I can think of, because it was a beginning place. And from that day to this, it's continued to be a straight downhill slide. And the devil has known exactly what he's done. First, he got God out of the school. Let's get God out of the minds of our kids. Then he began to program a nation anti-God. He started working with the young people, and he got the riots, and he got the rebellion, and he got the new morality going. And everybody got off on civil rights, and rights, and this rights, and everybody's rights, and whatever, and he got the kids going on their rights. Then he got mom and dad so busy trying to keep their own act together. In the meantime, he took television. When did television get so wicked and so vile? I can remember when it was a pretty good thing. When did that happen? It's happened in the last 20-some-odd years. You see, he's been working, and he's been working, and he's been working.
to the day that today a teenager, God bless you, I love you kids, but the sad thing is you kids have never seen a moral America. Hey, I can remember when Mom and Dad were to be honored and glorified. I can remember when we walked into school and we not only pledged the flag, but we prayed. Nobody died. No kid got hurt because of prayer. I can remember when teachers looked like teachers and didn't look like bums. I can remember when teachers had a morality about them. They weren't Baptist, they weren't Methodist, or whatever they were, but the honest, simple truth was they were moral. I can remember when God was not a dirty word. I can remember when love wasn't a four-letter filthy word. I can remember when it meant something. I can remember when children honored Mom and Dad, and husbands and wives stuck out and stayed together and made it happen. And I can remember when there was a patriotism, and I thank God we're on that backswing now. I see good things in America as far as patriotism. The sad thing is millions and millions and millions of our young people have been wrecked by the devil over the years. And millions of young people today are in hell and will spend eternity separated from God because they believe the devil's lies. Music affects. It affects our emotions, it affects our attitude, it affects our outlook, it affects everything about us. You say, that's all right, Pastor, but I want to know if the Bible says anything about it. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32 right now. Let me paint the picture for you. Moses is on the mountain. He has received the Ten Commandments. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 7, Go, get thee down, for thy people, whom thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. I want you to underline that word, corrupted. God said it. I didn't say it. You'll find out why they were corrupted in just a few moments. But God said, your people have corrupted themselves. Notice verse 8, They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made to themselves molten calf, they have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These are thy gods. Interesting now. You'll notice they made one calf, but they use a plural there, and they say, These are thy gods. We're going to come back in a moment and talk about the these. These are thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot, or the word there is burn, against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make thee a great nation. Let's get down to verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount. And the two tables of the testimony were in his hands. The tables were written on both of their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God. The word is engraved or graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard, I want you to look at that next word. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is a noise of war in the camp. Now, let me ask you a question. If you know anything about history, what's a noise of war? A beat. You go back and study American history. Go back and study some of the primitive histories. There was a beat of war. Matter of fact, the American Indians probably have taught us more about the effects of beats. They didn't have music. Back when my great-great ancestors, I'm of partial Indian descent, back when Cookie's ancestors, my ancestors, were whooping it up, making whoopee and noise. They start out with a beat. They start out with a chant. The next thing you know, that chant would pick up. And the beat would pick up. And they'd get a little bit of fire water in them. They'd start getting that beat picked up a little bit more. The frenzy would pick up a little bit more. See, how do you know? I've watched a lot of cowboy Indian movies. The beat would pick up and the frenzy would pick up. The fire water would pick up. The beat would pick up and the frenzy would pick up until they got wild. And then they'd jump on their horses and go off and make war. Like General Custer said to one of his guys, he said, I don't know whatever got into those Indians. They were already at the dance last night. Now, they go off to war. But it wasn't war until the beat and until that effect of that beat had taken its toll. In the same token, Moses is coming down off the mountain and he said, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them who shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them who cry for being overcome. But by the way, it sounded like it. Neither is it the voice of them who shout for mastery, or in other words, being enslaved and beaten and screaming and hollering and wailing because they're being put into slave mastery. No, but it sounded like it. He said, neither is it them who cry for being overcome. You take and watch the news accounts. I watched one recently where one of the Middle East nations was bombing the other. I forget whether it was Iran or Iraq or Syria or whoever was involved. And they showed the women running through the streets wailing and screaming because they were being overtaken or being attacked. So it's a beat. It's a beat and it's a screaming and it's a hollering. And it sounded to Moses like people being enslaved and people being overtaken. But the noise, verse 18, of them who sing, do I hear. Now, it sounded like the noise of war. But it was actually some goings-on that you're going to find out about in a few moments. But let's go back to a word. God said they corrupted themselves. This is part of that corruption. Pastor, what's wrong with rock music? The music itself is wrong. The beat is wrong. The type of music, what it does, and the screaming and the hollering and the beat and all the rest of it. By the way, you take that same beat and that same hollering and screaming and apply Jesus' words to it, doesn't change it a bit. Christian rock is just as bad as regular rock because it's the music. It's the music. You take a young lady and a young man. You know, it's pretty hard to do this to the Tennessee Waltz, you know? You know that there is a gyration. There is a frenzy. There is an effect that goes with that beat and with that music. And boy, if they can get animals to react to it, they're going to get you to react to it. And they know that. By the way, you can't listen to an up-tempo gospel song without your foot starting to tap. And you know that's true. Now, we use 4/4 time gospel music here, and it's interesting. I like to sit up here and watch your faces. Now, you know what? I don't have to listen to the beat of certain songs to tell whether I want to use it or not. All I got to do is watch out what it does to you. Now, young people, you know what I'm saying to you tonight is true. Music has an effect. All right? What else is wrong with the rock music? All right? Number two, the message is wrong. Hey, take sex, drugs, rebellion, suicide, murder, sadomasochism. Y'all know what sadomasochism is? Some of you look blank in your face. How many of you do not know what sadomasochism is? All right? Good. Sadomasochism is like taking a young lady's body and cutting it to pieces. songs that talk now about I had my ultimate sexual experience when I shoved my knife in her and ripped her up to her throat while I was having sex with her. That's sadomasochism. Songs now that advocate cutting bodies into pieces. That's sadomasochism. All types of filth and perversion and garbage. That's what rock's about now, folks. These heavy metal bands have removed all bars. Mr. Prince, that filthy pig. The joys of incest. Sir, he might sue you when he hears that. I hope he does. The joys of incest. God pity his reprobate hide. He needs to get saved. His life's straightened out and go do something with his life besides pervert young people's minds. Ozzy Osbourne's satanic messages. The filth and the garbage that comes across. Listen to me, young people. The "we ain't going to take it anymore" isn't going to be too funny when it's your kid putting his finger under your nose saying, "I ain't going to take it anymore." You laugh at it now, boy, and you think it's hot stuff now, but when it's your kid on the slab in the morgue, it's not funny. And you young people sitting in front of me and the young people that are listening to this tape have got a problem. The Bible says whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. Don't you forget it. And the devil knows that too. The devil's no fool. He knows what the Bible says. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. And you say, Pastor, I don't believe this stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You tell me that when it's your 18-year-old girl and she's dead and they call you down to the morgue to identify her. Hey, you tell me there's nothing to this stuff if it's, look where it's at now. Look at the filth it's advocating now. Wait until you've got a 13-year-old. I've watched this filth since 1960 right on down. I didn't know that Lucy in the Sky and Diamonds that the Beatles sang about was LSD. I didn't know that some of the songs the mamas and the papas were singing about, you folks in my generation, were advocating drugs. But the devil already had his messages in there.
Listening to WUSB Stony Brook, we'd like to know if you're convinced or if you're still determined to go to hell. Give us a call at 632-6901, area code 516. Let's hear what you have to say.
Josh Fox.
6 and 7 books of Moses. And it's the Maytals, actually. They're known as the Vikings then. It comes from 1963. And heard that here on Brain Damage, where we've also been listening to the Reverend Fletcher Brothers expounding on the evils of rock and roll. I'd like to know if there's people out there that agree with that or think that he's not right when he talks about the Beatles and Ozzy Osbourne and the Dead Kennedys and all these other groups that we have grown up with. Some of us, anyway. Can the beat, the boogity, 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 can that really do it to you and make you speed, go through red lights, do evil things, kill, massacre, and use sarcasm in inappropriate places? 632-6901. I want to know what you have to say about that. Good morning.
That guy is a complete idiot.
Which guy, me?
Oh, not you. Oh. The Reverend Fletcher Brothers.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just a bit sensitive today. Fletcher Brothers, well, why is he a complete idiot?
He just says stuff that's not true, and not only that, he's a racist.
Well, okay, talk about the racism.
All he does is say that the Indians are the ones that started the war beat. Uh-huh. The Indians and the Arabs, every army in the entire that ever existed, not even civilized world, just including third world nations, everything, has used music as a basis for charges and getting psyched up and controlling their movements.
Mm-hmm.
Just every army. And he just bases it upon the American Indians and the Africans and the, what's it called, the Arabs.
So do you think music is used as a way of controlling people?
Not as controlling people, but as to tell them what's going on in battle.
Uh-huh.
Where to charge, where to push up on signals, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to use light signals in the middle of the day.
I suppose that's true. What about what he said about rock music, though?
He's completely unbased. He just says stuff like, he said that, so long ago. I was like, he just said...
He's been droning on for some time, I realize that.
He said sadomasochism is cutting up women?
Well, that's one aspect of it.
Necrophilia?
Well, I mean, I suppose it's...
I guess if you waited long enough.
Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, he said that it's the beat that's going to send people to hell, not necessarily the words. And I'm thinking nothing more than those Christian rock bands and Christian hardcore bands, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they're singing about, you know, Jesus and all, but they're going straight to hell along with the rest of us because of the beat, evil beat.
Yeah, and he said that the worst thing he could think about it was that it caused rebellion.
Uh-huh. Rebellion is a healthy thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a very healthy thing. It wasn't for rebellion. First of all, he wouldn't have Christianity or any religion, pretty much.
Well, that's true, too.
Wasn't Jesus like a big-time rebel?
I think he was. And I think if he was around now, you know, I'd sure like to have him on my show if he was around now. Because I think he'd say a lot of interesting things, and he'd probably be a pretty cool person to talk to.
My friend went to church or something. He was talking to his pastor about about the music he listens to, because he's like in the real heavy metal.
Uh-huh.
And he said, don't be too worried about what you're listening to, because Jesus would probably listen to it, too.
That's cool. That guy deserves a pat on the back for that. I think Jesus would be into skateboarding if he was around now.
Yeah, probably, because he had such good balance. He could, like, walk on water and stuff. He could do, like, the...
I don't know if he ever walked on water. Wasn't that Moses?
Well, all I hear is that Jesus did it.
But I guess Jesus did walk on water. Moses parted the seas. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. The religious department here has corrected me.
I think the sea parting is more impressive than the walking on water, though.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. What they don't tell you is when you part the seas, that causes flooding in all kinds of coastal areas.
Yeah, that's true.
And believe me, the people who had houses on the shore were really upset at Moses for a good time to come after that. But you won't read about that in the Bible, will you?
Of course not. They never tell you the important stuff like that.
No.
Just the stuff that they want you to force to learn.
Yeah, but, you know, I think history has distorted a lot of things over time.
Yeah.
But who's to say who holds the controls to all of this? You know, we listen to these people that call themselves reverends and, you know, fundamentalists. But what you and I have to say is just as important and just as convincing to some people, so don't feel intimidated.
Oh, I'm not intimidated by Reverend Fletcher. Any chance you have his home address?
Well, it's interesting you should mention that. I do. It's not his home address, but I do know where the tape came from. And, in fact, what I'm going to try to do right now live on the air is get another tape.
Cool.
Yeah, so listen live to this exciting footage as we do this, and pray along with me, because this tape is from 1988.
Yeah, maybe he's got some new material.
I hope so, because there's certainly been a lot of offensive things that have come out since then, and I'm sure he's upset about that.
Maybe he's got some new, like, some better information, too.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, and make sure you get some more calls.
Oh, well, you got to help me get some calls here. I mean, you know, we only have a half-filled switchboard, and I know there's people out there that are angry.
Okay, have a good night.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901, that's the magic phone number. Area code 516 is the magic area code. Now, bear with me for a moment while I get the friendly AT&T operator on the line. Actually, no, I need a New York telephone operator here for this, because I'm going within New York State to a place called Lakemont.
New York telephone, Mrs. Ray, may I help you?
Yes, hello. I need the area code, please, for Lakemont, New York.
All right. I'll connect you to a directory. They provide that information.
I know they also charge money for that.
Yes, they do.
Uh-huh. In that case, can you connect me to AT&T?
One moment.
I outsmarted you, didn't I?
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
See, I can ask the same question of AT&T, and unlike New York Telephone, they will not charge me for directory assistance. New York Telephone, hang your head in shame.
Please hold. Your call will be answered by the next available operator.
Of course, AT&T has a problem with going down recently. You know, their networks are always failing.
Please hold. Your call will be answered by the next available operator.
Welcome to the 90s. Remember when you could just dial O and the operator would be there immediately?
AT&T?
Yes, hello, operator. I need information on an area code. I need to know what area code is for a particular city.
Yes?
The city is Lakemont, L-A-K-E-M-O-N-T, in New York.
One moment.
Thank you. Always say thank you. It makes them work better. Sort of like, you know, petting your dog on the head, you know, and he'll do what he has to do quicker. We all need, you know, positive reinforcement. I have a full switchboard.
Area code 607, sir.
I'm sorry, what was the area code?
The area code is 607.
607. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Always say thank you very much when you're finished. Okay, now we're going to call... Whoops. Now we're going to call information, which we would have had to have done anyway, but the New York telephone way, we would have had to have done it twice. So we saved some money there. Going to Lakemont, New York.
New York telephone, Mrs. Donovan.
Yes, Lakemont, New York, please.
Where?
Lakemont?
Yes.
Okay, I'm looking for the number for Freedom Village, USA.
Is that L-A-K-E-M-O-N-T?
That's right.
It's called Freedom Village?
Yes.
The number is 243-8126. 243-8126.
Okay, we've got the number now. Now let us place the call. And of course, anybody listening is welcome to request tapes too. I don't know if they didn't cost anything last time I did this. Yeah, I just thought maybe I'm waking up the guy. That's not what I want to do. I hope I'm not doing that. I mean, he'll be real cranky and everything, and I'll tell him rock music made me do it. Another helpful telephone tip, whenever you're calling somebody, always make sure you give it at least 15 rings. That gives people enough time to get out of the shower or wake up or get home from wherever it is they were and trip over things and get to the phone. Nothing is more frustrating than having the phone stop ringing just before you get to it. So I always do my best to prevent such situations. I'll give it about maybe three more rings and then I'm going to give up. A beep. What do you suppose that beep meant? I only hit a touch tone. Uh-oh, it hung up. Well, I don't know if I was hacking Reverend Fletcher's or Pastor Fletcher's, whatever his name is, whether it's hacking his machine or who knows, but I didn't want to do that. I just want to get a tape, so I'll try it during the week sometime, and hopefully we'll have another tape for you real soon. Actually, that was only part one of two parts, so at some future time we'll hear more. Let's go back to the phones and see who's out there. Good morning.
Yeah, Eric, that pastor guy kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, well, why don't you go into it a little bit?
Well, I agree with that last call, that he really didn't know what he was talking about, because he didn't. He was just coming up with half-truths, half-everything. It was like a bad political campaign.
Well,
he was saying stuff like... What was that?
We're familiar with bad political campaigns around here.
Yeah, obviously, but anyway, he was coming up with stuff that, like, made no sense. He was saying, oh, yeah, something else I'd like to tell this guy about the beats. I hate to tell him, but the average gospel song and the average rock song are only 4-4 time, and if that's such a bad beat, then he's corrupting himself by listening to his own music.
Yeah, I like gospel music. I like that stuff that really makes you get up and move.
Well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
No, I'm agreeing with you because that does have a beat to it.
It's in the same 4-4 time as the average time signature for, you know, rock and gospel music.
Uh-huh.
You know, 6-8 once in a while, but the average is 4-4 time.
Uh-huh.
This guy sounds to me like a crabby old, fed-up, tone-deaf, music-hating... what do you call a person grasping at straws to maintain some control over a group of people?
Well, there's a lot of people like that, and a lot of them have a significant amount of power.
Well,
you know, you got to be careful.
And a
lot of your parents probably feel this way too, deep down. Maybe some of them are you know, more towards the surface, but a lot of people deep down feel this.
My parents, you know, I listen to almost all heavy metal music. And I think the problem is not the suicide and devil worship does not come from heavy metal music, because they don't have enough time to have seances before shows because they're trying to do sound checks and all this other stuff. And if people's parents would pay attention to their kids, they wouldn't have to commit suicide. That's why kids kill themselves.
That's true.
Not
communication,
you know,
lack of communication, lack of understanding, people who don't listen.
Not because, you know, they're sitting there listening to a song, you know, it says, go kill yourself. I have yet to hear a song that comes out and says, oh, yeah, kill your mother, and then while you're at it, go out, go across the street, rip your neighbor's head off and eat it for breakfast, and then kill a cat and then slice yourself apart.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like a film. Silence of the Lambs, for instance, right? You have Hannibal Lecter there who goes around, well, he doesn't do it in the film, but he's a you know, serial killer. Now, are they saying that because it's a serial killer in the film, then that means that that's sending a message for people to kill other people? No, it's a portrayal. It's acting.
Yeah.
Same thing in music. You can portray various characters. The singer isn't necessarily saying what he wants to convey, but what perhaps he's you know, imagining other people might say. For, you know, Jello Biafra does that with Dead Kennedys, and Ozzy does that, and all kinds of people do that. It's, you know, it's what we call art.
Yeah, if you, especially like in Metallica's Fade to Black, right, if you read it, James Hetfield, he's not saying he's going to kill himself. The song is about suicide, but it's saying it from... is basically that, you know, my parents don't talk to me anymore, no, you know, I mean, and this guy's fed up. But, I mean, if he's not saying, oh, yeah, this is what you should do, you know, he's saying this is the way some person may feel, you know?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, the job of an artist to to convey a message as to what people should do. I know lots of musicians that sort of resent people who look towards them for all the answers. I know John Lennon was like that. He hated the fact that people looked upon him as some kind of a god.
Yeah, they do, because they don't want, you know, they feel responsible for everything now, you know, and they're just trying to make some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make up your own mind, I think, is the message that most people want to send out.
Yeah, I really hate people like this Reverend, whatever the schmucko name is, he's got. He's trying to cram his own beliefs and grasp at straws to keep hold of whatever little following he's got, because he's like some little miniature Adolf Hitler wanting a little, you know, ruling of the world or whatever.
Let me ask you this. You think it's a good idea to air this kind of thing?
To an extent, to let people know how stupid some people can get and how they can try to control people.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like for the listeners, when they hear this kind of thing, to think about it like you have and to come up with reasons why they're against it, but to think for themselves and come up with their own reasons. You know, don't just listen to what I say, what other people say. Think about it and understand why you're either opposed to something or why you support something.
So this guy seems to me like he's just trying to control people.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, a lot of organized religion is all about that. You know, that's why you got to be aware of anything that's organized and telling you how to live every, you know, facet of your life.
Yeah, we were talking about organizations earlier on.
Yeah. Well, nothing is more anti-individual than organizations.
Yeah.
Sounds anarchistic, I know, but it is true.
All right, so.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, Trout.
All right, right. 632-6901. Good evening.
Good evening. This Reverend guy, you know, I'm really sick and tired of heavy metal music saying that all these messages and stuff. You know what it all comes down to? You go up to Metallica, you're going to say to them, you know, I don't like your music, I don't like what you write and stuff. You know what he's going to say? Big deal. I'm making $100 million a year.
Uh-huh.
It's just, the whole purpose of heavy metal is to sell records, just as classical music is to sell records, and Billy Joel sells his records. All those groups are trying to make money. And they end this other stuff with the satanic messages and whatever, when you play the record backwards, it just sounds like that. They don't serve the devil. AC/DC does not serve the devil. They're just out there to make money. And so far, these groups have done a pretty good job of it.
Well, I mean, do you think there's anything wrong with that kind of mentality, just doing it to make money?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, and people do anything for money, just like people do anything for a Klondike bar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Thanks for calling.
Okay, wait.
Sorry. 632-6901. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, I'm just coming in from North Carolina, and I heard your program.
Oh, really? You mean you drove in from North Carolina just now, and you were listening on the way in?
No, I got here about 11 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Well, that's well, welcome to Long Island, for one thing.
Well, thanks.
And what's on your mind?
I was just listening to a fellow named Joseph Campbell last week, and he was talking about religion, and that sort of brought this in, and basically, he was saying that religion to some people is some kind of barrier from having a religious experience.
That's probably quite true.
And anyway, he was talking about different people going and, you know, religion to them is just going to church, and you go to church, and then you come back and you do, you know, go out and rake the leaves or whatever, and that's where religion stays.
Uh-huh.
Instead of, you know, letting it speak to you and, you know, and this guy sounds like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you experience religion at all, it's going to be on an individual level, you know, not a collective level.
Yes, and a lot of people use that for an excuse not to think for themselves and go out and do what they really feel, and that's what the music comes in. You know, if an artist is really getting into it and letting him, you know, his soul come and speak out in the music, that's what it's going to say, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now, do you see, are things very different down in North Carolina than they are here with regards to the way people think about, say, rock music?
Well, actually, I've moved from New York. I've lived in New York for 13 years and moved south and acquired the southern accent.
Yeah, I noticed.
But the people that I live around are Bible Belt, and they're Baptist, and they're just the worst, just like this guy.
Uh-huh.
And,
well, do they control the way other people feel and think? Or do they keep it
to
themselves?
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, this one woman across the street, she was giving us hell for having Halloween decorations out and stuff, saying that's the devil and stuff like this.
I don't believe it. You're kidding.
No, I'm serious.
Halloween decorations?
Yeah, jack-o'-lantern. She wouldn't let her kids come up and play with ours for the whole week, you know, right before Halloween.
And this is a predominant kind of a view?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. How does it affect people in schools?
Well, my kid is in kindergarten, so I don't know how it's going to affect him, but I'm sure it does, because if she just uses the kids as a, you know, it's like one day she'll let them come down and play, and next day, you know, you didn't take your jack-o'-lantern in, so no.
Uh-huh. So your kids are an evil influence because of that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's something else.
Well, are you prepared for what adolescence is going to usher in? You know?
Well, you know, all I can do is obviously the people alone, in the sense that have this view. And, you know, as far as my kid's concerned, he's going to have to, I think he's just going to have to see by my role example how to deal with these people, because I don't think you can argue with them and try to force, you know, reasoning, but it's, you know, you just have to give love in a sense and just let, that's, you know, they portray to be Christian, but they don't. They go around and give people hell and, you know, use their kids to hurt people and stuff, and, you know, that's not the way I do. I just treat everybody the same and just, you know.
And allow people to make up their own minds.
Yeah, that's correct. And it was wild because I was over in, across the street in this Baptist church playing with my kid. You know, they have a playground out back, and this guy comes up, and he's got a kid there. He's from California, and we're talking about these Baptist belt, you know, he says, you go to church here? I said, no, I don't. Turns out this was the guy that played, what was his name, France in the Sound of Music, and he has started an acting school in Monroe, and it was wild because I immediately knew who he was when he started talking about, you know, he portrayed that that fellow that was on top of the roof with Christopher Plummer. So it was pretty wild, you know, and it's not my imagination when somebody else comes in and offers their opinion.
Okay, well, listen, I wish you the best of luck down there. How long are you here for?
Just for a few days. We're going to be going back in the middle of the week.
Okay, well, don't be overcome by it all.
Well, you know, I think we're going to just move towards Charlotte, which is the people there are a little bit more open. The people in this community where I'm living, they've lived there all their lives. And they don't know anything else except what they were indoctrinated and, you know, preached to by these people. That,
You know, the scary thing is the guy that we've been playing right now, he comes from New York.
Well, it's all over. I mean, if people don't want to believe, you know, and go in a sense with education and stuff and realize, you know, just let things be and not try to control people, you know, that's what you're going to have. And,
well, you know, that always scares a lot of people. The people with the control are always scared by people making up their own minds, and that's true in government, religion, schools, you name it, any place where people have control.
Well, even we were talking the other day in kindergarten, they're giving them all these little stickers and this behavior modification. They're trying to train my kid to be a zombie. You know, you go and you stand in line, you got to stand with your arms to your side, just like, you know, reminds me of Hitler in a sense, you know. And the kids are really worried that, oh, I didn't get one of my stickers because I had to go to use the bathroom and I had to get out of line or whatever, you know. And I think it's pretty sad the way the society's trying to mold kids, and, you know, and that's the same thing with the religion. You know, I'm going to tell you what God is, and, you know, and you better join me, you know, because that might shake my faith a little bit if you decide that, you know, God is not that for me. God is not going to, you know, God doesn't have me on strings and pull me like a puppet.
That's great.
All right, well, I enjoyed it.
Thanks very much for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
What a great call. We're from North Carolina. That really makes me feel good. And speaking of North Carolina, I just happen to have a news story here. Just came in. North Carolina authorities, actually this person might be too happy to hear this, but hopefully it won't affect him. North Carolina authorities say the latest storm to lash the Atlantic coast has already toppled one home damaged by earlier onslaughts. Officials say that so far other damage has been limited to minor ocean overwashes in Killdevil Hills and Kitty Hawk. And that storm is heading our way. So, folks, be careful. And, you know, I heard this last time during the Halloween storm, right? all these people out on boats, you know, that then were, you know, found missing or not found missing or whatever. Don't be out on a boat, okay? Get off the boat. If you're on a boat now, don't be there, all right? Come back to land. You can go back on the boat later. But, you know, when there's a what they call a nor'easter coming up the coast, it's not the time to, you know, be out sailing. Sorry, just had to say that. Okay, scientists in Oxfordshire, England, claim they've produced a significant amount of electricity from controlled nuclear fusion. If true, the accomplishment could be a major step toward producing a virtually unlimited amount of safe, clean energy. Sounds like an April Fool's story, but maybe it's true. Who knows? Maybe they'll find a cure for AIDS. Secretary of State Baker is due to arrive in Tokyo Sunday, his first stop on a trip that will also take him to Korea and China. Baker's discussions with Japanese officials are likely to focus on the huge trade imbalance and Japan's refusal to allow rice to be imported. New York police say a speeding sports car went out of control in the Bronx Saturday afternoon, crashing into a tree, killing six people. Several beer bottles were found in the car. Authorities haven't said yet whether the driver had been drinking. And it's currently 5 degrees Celsius. That's 41 on the Fahrenheit scale. And something else that might be of interest to people. Less than a week after Republicans won a landslide victory in the New Jersey legislature, a new poll says only 35% of New Jersey residents would vote for President Bush for another term. Something to think about. Yep, the new poll shows they think less of Bush than they did 4 months ago. While Bush continues to get high marks for his skill in foreign affairs, his overall performance rating has fallen 13 points because of social and economic concerns. The number of New Jersey residents saying Bush is doing an excellent or good job as president fell to 56% from 69% in June. And finally, a team from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission is to arrive this morning at the Salem 2 nuclear power plant. That's in New Jersey, to investigate how a fire started in the generator. Yesterday's fire in a non-nuclear portion of the power plant caused extensive damage to the main generator, and officials say the plant will be closed indefinitely. Authorities say the nuclear reactor and its containment building was undamaged and shut down automatically with absolutely no release of radiation and no harm to anybody whatsoever. That's their story, and they're sticking to it. One guard was treated at the plant for smoke inhalation. The adjacent Salem 1 and Hope Creek nuclear power plants in Lower Alloways Creek Township were not affected and continued operating at capacity. Okay, that's a look at the news. Our telephone number is 632-6901. But something we have not done in a while. Explore the controversial but oh so essential question that at one time or another, at least once in our lifetimes, moves through our lips and exits out into the air. The question, what's for lunch?
Good morning. Today's Saturday, November 9th. At all cafeterias for brunch, wheatina, soup du jour, French toast, sausage patties, tater tots, salad bar, deli bar, eggs to water. Dinner is soup du jour, roast turkey breast, beef and bean burrito, cheese tortellini with Alfredo sauce. Thanks again for calling the FSA hotline.
And it sounds like the lunch lady has a cold, but hopefully she will recover by next week. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
stop, stop.
Oh, got kind of out of control there for a second. That's what's for lunch for this week. And now you know the facts. The facts that they try so hard to cover up. We always reveal them. 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. We're on the air for another 14 minutes. Good morning.
Yeah, I want to know why we can't go to a regular club, you know, anymore without someone trying to come up to you and start a fight.
Well, you know, I guess there's a lot of controversy about that, but...
the hell is that?
Well, this is a trend you've noticed. People are starting fights at clubs.
You know, I went to a club just tonight, you know, I come home.
Uh-huh.
You know, the kid starts with me, I'm just sitting there, you know, I'm dancing, and he said I was looking at his girl. What the hell is that?
Well, you weren't looking at his girl then, were you?
No, I wasn't, you know, and I just went there to have a good time, you know, a night out on the town, and this is what happened.
Well, you know, maybe people should wear blindfolds. I don't know.
Oh, I can't stand that shit.
All right, thanks for calling. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm sorry, I just laughed at this guy.
Yeah, okay, we got a room full of people laughing in the other room. But,
oh, okay, I'm sorry. What I want to ask you, before I talk about the Reverend, Eric, you know, you're always picking on Eric Bush. You're always picking on George Bush.
That's a scary thing to say. Why don't I run for president? Well, first of all, do you know how much time it takes to run for president, and God forbid I win, you know?
Why not, man?
I probably have to move, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, you can always come back and do the show.
I don't, you know, somehow I don't think that would work out. Somehow I don't think they'd let me do that.
I think they would. You're the president. You can do what you want, right?
You know, I'm beginning to be convinced that is not necessarily so, that you cannot really do what you want when you're president.
Well, that's true. Congress does watch you a lot, you know, learn about a lot of that. And,
yeah, I'm more worried about the National Security Council. I'm worried about those people. They seem to really have a control on the situation.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, they let President Bush go up to Maine and go blue fishing.
That's true. That's
know,
true.
So why wouldn't they let President Corley go come back to Storybook and do brain damage?
Every week?
Yeah, why not?
I just don't think, you know, I don't know. I just think I'd have trouble doing that.
I don't know. I think...
Bush isn't going to be going up to Maine in a while because his house got destroyed, and this other storm is coming up to finish the job.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Are you 35 years old or older?
No, I'm not, actually.
Then you can't be. You got to be 35 years
old. Hot damn. I can't be president.
I had a couple years.
I've never felt better about anyone.
The Reverend.
Uh-huh.
I was really upset about him.
You're upset about the Reverend?
Hey, he started doing all these issues and stuff, you know, talking about heavy metal and... You know, HIV or whatever he was talking about.
I wasn't talking about HIV. I'm sure he doesn't even know about HIV.
And he didn't say one thing about what people, like who don't have any money,
uh-huh.
what they would do for a Klondike bar.
No, he skillfully avoided that subject. Thanks for calling. Good morning.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah.
Kind of forgot what I was going to say. Hold on a second.
Just trying to get it back now.
Oh, well, one thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, I'll remember it, but one thing I was going to say about you should run for president.
Well, you know, it costs a lot of money, okay? You got to raise money, and I've never been good at raising money, you know? I always wind up paying, like, the majority for a pizza whenever we order one.
Yeah?
Because I can't raise money from the other people around me.
Well, maybe they
If I can't do that, how can I run for president?
I don't know.
You know? I'll wind up paying the horse's share or the lion's share, whatever they call it. And, you know, that's just not good. Especially if I lose. Because at least when you order a pizza, you usually get it. Oh, you always get it when you pay for it.
Yeah.
But imagine if you ordered a pizza and you paid for it and you didn't get it. That's what running for president and losing is like.
And I was, like, up in Port Jeff today.
Uh-huh.
I saw these signs for this guy, Riley the Roofer, for county executive.
Yeah, I've been seeing those, too. What he does is you know, it's Riley the Roofer, and then whenever there's an election, he just adds for president or whatever.
Who is this guy?
He's just a roofer that has signs up all over the place.
Chill, man.
Yeah, it's you know, I saw other signs, too, on the Sconset Highway for Christmas trees, and they say, give a Christmas tree a job, you know, and all these political signs for Christmas trees now. It's designed to get attention to the, you know, to the place. It's
there's a phone number on the bottom of those signs. You should copy that and give the guy a call.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe we'll be interviewing him on the next presidential campaign.
Yeah, I wish I could remember what I was going to say.
Well, that's always one of life's little ironies.
But, but I don't know. If I remember it, I'll call you back.
Fair enough.
Sure thing.
Thanks for calling.
That's a later cool guy.
All right. 632-6901. I also said before the end of the program, which is getting dangerously close here, that I'd give out some phone numbers for AIDS hotlines and things like that. Because naturally, now that there's a multi-million-dollar basketball star who has been stricken with AIDS, people are suddenly saying to themselves, hey, maybe I should pay attention to this disease. Well, folks, you know, it's been around for a while. There's been, you know, a lot of things on the radio, a lot of things on TV, and you really have to pay attention. You really have to pay attention. It's not the kind of thing that's not going to affect you, because it affects everybody at some point. Now, you hear that? That is the sound of an AIDS hotline. I've been calling this all night long to see if I can ever get through the busy signal, and no, I cannot. This is 800-342-AIDS, which, if you don't have letters on your phone, is 2437. 1-800-342-2437 to get connected to that busy signal. The busy signal goes away after a while, too. Now, there's another number you can call, and that one, let's see if we can actually get that one on here, is 542-2437, which also spells AIDS. That's HIV Counseling for Drug Users. Okay, that's available, 800-542-2437. Okay, that one is ringing.
You have reached the New York State Department of Health. Our hours are 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. At the sound of the beep, please leave your name, phone number with area code, and a brief message. We will get back to you as soon as possible. Please keep in mind we are closed on all legal holidays, and please wait for the beep.
Well, since it's responding to my beeps by not beeping, that means that this machine can be accessed by other people, so I would not leave my name and number there if you want your privacy to be respected. Okay, there are local numbers, too. Here's one for Nassau County. This is 800-462-6785. Let's see if we can get through to anybody there. The point I'm trying to raise here is that it's damn difficult for people to get information on AIDS, unless they want information on AIDS during business hours, which I think is pretty moronic. We live in the richest country in the world, we can't even get information about AIDS at 2 in the morning.
You have reached the New York State AIDS Institute Testing and Counseling Services in Nassau County. We are sorry we cannot take your call at this time. However, if you need counseling services, call 1-800-872-2777 Monday through Friday, 4 through 8 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. through 6 p.m., or the New York State hotline at 1-800-541-2437.
Now, that means that's an answering machine, too. That's also very easy to get into, so I wouldn't leave my name and number over there either. Let's try the Suffolk number, which is 1-800-462-6786. See if we have any better luck over there.
You have reached the New York State HIV Counseling and Testing Program. There is no one available to take your call right now. Please call back between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. when a counselor will be available to take your call. For counseling after hours, call 1-800-872-2777, Monday through Friday, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., or Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can also call the Long Island Association for AIDS Care at 385-AIDS. Thank you.
And that's that same machine that is very easy to get into. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. If you have questions after hours, call between 4 and 8 p.m. Now, I mean, if you have questions after hours within certain hours, you can get information. But if it's outside of certain hours, you can't get anything. So let's try one of those numbers. Let's try 800-872-2777. See if we get anywhere there.
Thank you for calling the New York State HIV AIDS Information Service. At this time, all service lines are closed. For pre-recorded information about each hotline's operational hours, please stay on the line.
have reached the New York State HIV Counseling Hotline. Counselors will be available to answer in-depth AIDS and HIV-related questions, as well as offer referrals for service from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. If you need general AIDS and HIV-related information, please call the New York State AIDS Hotline at 1-800-541-AIDS. Operators are available to provide AIDS, HIV-related information taped messages, as well as referrals for service from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. If you have immediate questions or concerns about AIDS, HIV, please call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS. Operators will be available to answer general questions and offer referrals to local services 24 hours a day. Thank you for your call.
Okay, and those 24-hour services, which is 1-800-AIDS and 1-800-541-AIDS, are both constantly busy, so you won't really get through to them unless you try a lot. And we've been trying all night here, and we haven't been able to get through. Now, this next number, 1-800-233-SIDA, which is the Spanish word for AIDS, is information in Spanish on AIDS. Let's see if we get through to a human on this one.
Esta es la línea informativa por el CIDO del Estado de Nueva York. Este servicio está disponible de lunes a viernes desde las 9 de la mañana hasta las 5 de la tarde. Y los sábados y domingos de 10 de la mañana a 6 de la tarde. Si usted tiene preguntas que requieren una respuesta inmediata, por favor llame a la línea nacional al 1-800-344-7432 o 1-800-344-SIDA. Gracias.
Well, some real interesting beeps there, but no real information, even though it was in Spanish, I'm sure. Not much could be conveyed in that amount of time. So the point is, we have all these hotline numbers, and this is all printed in the newspapers today. All these hotline numbers, but no information, unless you want the information within business hours. It's pretty pathetic, if you ask me. There is one number, however, one number that you can call, and we're going to try that one now. And this is one that we actually were happy with. While you don't get a human being, you do get information. This is the Long Island Association for AIDS Care, and their number is 516-385-AIDS, 385-2437. Listen to this.
You have reached the hotline for the Long Island Association for AIDS Care, LIAC. If you are calling from a touch-tone telephone, pre-recorded information on HIV, AIDS, is available 24 hours a day. If you would like to listen to HIV, AIDS information and have a Tell HIV, AIDS card, please press the star key on the lower left side of your telephone pad. Or for a list of message categories, press the pound sign on the lower right-hand side of your telephone pad. Our hotline is staffed Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. through 9 p.m. Our lines are least busy between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. Pre-recorded HIV AIDS information is available 24 hours a day. If you are calling about a personal crisis and must talk to someone now or have other emergency needs, you may call one of the following 24-hour crisis intervention hotlines. In Nassau, the Middle Earth Switchboard, 679-1111. In Suffolk, the Response Hotline, 751-7500. Or Samaritan Suicide Hotline, 212-673-3000. These hotlines are for crisis intervention. They do not specifically deal with AIDS issues. If your call is about a need for emergency housing, you may call one of the following...
Okay, what we're going to do is hit the pound sign so we get more information on AIDS, see what happens.
Category Group 1. For facts and myths about HIV, AIDS, press 1. For men, sex, and HIV, AIDS, press 2. For women, children, and HIV, AIDS, part 1, press 3. For women, children, and HIV, AIDS, part 2, press 4. Press 9 for the next group of message categories. You may also press the pound sign to repeat this message, or press...
Okay, we're
going to
go for the first option.
Operator. Message group 1, facts and myths about HIV, AIDS. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to how people get HIV, AIDS, and how people don't get HIV, AIDS, press 1. To listen to if you are living with someone who has HIV, AIDS, press 2. To listen to who gets HIV, AIDS on Long Island, press 3. To listen to what does it mean to be HIV positive, press 4. You may also press the star to repeat the last list of main messages.
Okay, we're going to try the first one. Hopefully we'll get some information there.
Message number 1, how people get HIV/AIDS and how people don't get HIV/AIDS. AIDS stands for Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome, AIDS. The word acquired means AIDS is a disease we can get through specific behaviors. AIDS is not something we catch. Some people are afraid they might get AIDS at work or at school or in a public bathroom. These people are wrong. We can't get AIDS like we catch a cold or the flu. HIV, human immunodeficiency virus, is the virus thought to cause AIDS. This virus lives in strong concentrations in blood and semen, and lower concentrations in body fluids and tissues. People can only get AIDS when their own blood comes into contact with HIV. This can happen during unprotected sex, by sharing a needle, through a blood transfusion or blood product like clotting factor for hemophiliacs, and to unborn babies during pregnancy. There have been documented cases of HIV transmission through breastfeeding by infected mothers. When we say unprotected sex, we mean putting the penis into the anus, vagina, or mouth without using a condom. If this happens and either partner is infected, the virus can be transmitted to the other partner through tiny tears caused by penetration. When we say needle sharing, we mean using an IV needle or other IV works that someone else used before you without properly cleaning them. If someone else's infected blood is on the needle you put into your arm, you may inject HIV into your own blood. This can happen while shooting heroin, cocaine, morphine, steroids, or any other substance, even if the needle looks clean. In the United States, most people with AIDS became infected by having unprotected sex or by sharing a needle with an infected person. Before 1985, some people received HIV-infected blood through a transfusion. Many hemophiliacs became infected through their clotting factor. But in March 1985, blood banks started screening donations for HIV. Today, our blood supply and other blood products are screened, and infected blood is discarded. This minimizes the risk of HIV transmission through the blood supply and other blood products. Almost every baby or child with HIV infection became infected before birth. Because a mother's blood mixes with the blood of her unborn child inside the placenta, she can transmit HIV to the baby if she is infected herself. HIV can also be transmitted in breast milk. You can't get HIV infection by kissing, hugging, or touching, by sharing cigarettes, drinking glasses, or eating utensils, or by someone sneezing or coughing. Nothing else around you can transmit HIV infection. You can't be infected by mosquito bites, by touching doorknobs, telephones, or toilet seats, or by swimming in a public pool. You won't be infected by working or living with someone with HIV infection. Healthcare workers will not be infected by caring for someone with AIDS if they follow the guidelines recommended for their professions by the Centers for Disease Control. Finally, you can be infected with HIV and not have AIDS. To hear more about the differences between HIV infection and AIDS, listen to the tape on Who Gets HIV/AIDS on Long Island. If you have questions or need more information, please stay on the line for a hotline operator.
We're going to hear the second message after we get the choices. Listen to WUSB in Stony Brook. We're broadcasting this information.
And myths about HIV.
From a hotline.
Choose one of the following messages. So listen to how people get HIV/AIDS and how people don't get HIV/AIDS. Press 1. To listen to if you are living with someone who has HIV/AIDS, press 2.
Message number 2. If you are living with someone with HIV/AIDS. Living with someone with HIV infection poses many challenges and problems. Whether you also need to think about your own risk for HIV infection depends on your relationship with that person. If you share your home with a child, brother or sister, father or mother, or other family member who is infected, you don't need to worry about getting AIDS yourself if you follow a simple precaution. Wear gloves when cleaning up blood, vomit, or diarrhea. Blood spills can be cleansed with a 1 to 10 solution of household bleach and water. Living with a friend with HIV infection is also safe, unless you've had unprotected sex with him or her, or shared IV needles or works. Then you need to consider whether you might be infected yourself. The same is true for spouses of people with HIV infection. If you think you're at risk for HIV infection, you might want to hear the messages about HIV testing. You may also talk to a hotline operator when you've finished listening to these messages or any of the other messages. Whether or not you're at risk yourself, living with someone with HIV infection means that legal, medical, financial, and emotional challenges are likely to become part of your everyday life. If you want help, LIAC offers support groups for partners, family members, and friends. You can also go to the HIV Forum, LIAC's workshop for learning about living with HIV infection. The HIV Forum is open to HIV-positive people and anyone else personally affected by HIV. One of these services might be right for you. To find out more about LIAC support groups, the HIV Forum, and LIAC's other services, please stay on the line for a hotline operator.
Well, listen to message number 3 next. The hotline number is 385-2437, area code 516.
Facts and myths about HIV/AIDS. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to how people get HIV/AIDS and how people don't get HIV/AIDS, press 1. To listen to if you are living with someone who has HIV/AIDS, press 2. To listen to Who Gets HIV/AIDS on Long Island, press 3.
Message number 3. Who Gets HIV/AIDS on Long Island? Certain kinds of behavior lead to contracting AIDS, not certain kinds of people. As the first message in this series explains, you can only get AIDS if your own blood comes into contact with the infected blood or semen of another person. It's a hard disease to get. As an adult, you need to behave in a way that puts you at a low or decreased risk for AIDS. Long Island has the highest incidence of AIDS of any suburban area in the United States. Many Long Islanders have been infected through unprotected sex with someone who was already infected. Many other Long Islanders with AIDS or HIV infection were infected by sharing IV works with an infected person. Many of them used or still use such substances as heroin, cocaine, or steroids. A few Long Islanders with AIDS were infected by blood products like hemophilia clotting factor that were administered before 1985. Since 1985, donated blood has been screened for antibodies to the virus thought to cause AIDS. There are also children with AIDS on Long Island. Most of them were infected before or during birth. It is important to remember that it doesn't matter who you are when it comes to contracting AIDS. You might be gay or you might not. You might be married or you might not. You or your partner might or might not have used drugs and shared needles. The point is that people get AIDS if they behave in a way that puts them at risk. If you still have questions about who gets AIDS on Long Island, we suggest that you listen to the message, How People Get HIV/AIDS and How People Don't Get HIV/AIDS. Or if you'd like to talk to a hotline operator, please stay on the line.
Okay, we already heard that message. Number four is next for us. I don't think any operators are around, so there's no real chance of us getting one of those.
Message group one, facts and myths about HIV/AIDS. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to how people get HIV/AIDS and how people don't get HIV/AIDS, press 1. To listen to if you are living with someone who has HIV/AIDS, press 2. To listen to who gets HIV/AIDS on Long Island, press 3. To listen to what does it mean to be HIV positive, press 4.
Message number 4. What does it mean to be HIV positive? Many people think being infected with HIV is the same thing as having AIDS. They're wrong. HIV, which stands for Human Immunodeficiency Virus, is the virus thought to cause AIDS. But when you find out you've been exposed to this virus, it doesn't mean you have AIDS. People who are exposed to HIV are called HIV positive because they have antibodies to HIV in their blood. HIV antibody tests look for these antibodies and come back positive when antibodies are present. Since 1985, when researchers started using this test to look for HIV, hundreds of thousands of people have tested positive. Many others have no symptoms at all. Many HIV-positive people are healthy. Researchers believe that most healthy, infected people will eventually show signs of infection. But as time passes, the period over which HIV-positive people can stay healthy has been repeatedly extended. Today, we know that some HIV-positive people have lived as long as 10 years without getting AIDS. Yet some people get AIDS within only a few months or years of infection. We don't know exactly why some do and some don't get sick. Some people get sicker than others. Some have no symptoms. And some get illnesses that aren't officially part of AIDS, but still seem to be somehow related to HIV infection. To learn about symptoms, listen to the tapes called Warning Signs and Symptoms of HIV/AIDS in Women. We do know that being HIV positive isn't a death sentence. If you're positive and healthy, there are many things you can do that might help you to stay healthy longer. Different things seem to work for different people. You can learn more about some of the ways people respond to HIV by talking with a hotline operator. Emotional support is an important part of staying healthy. Testing positive sets off big changes in your life. For instance, if you weren't already having safer sex, you need to start. You might be very scared or angry or worried about getting sick. You might be afraid of people knowing you're HIV positive. Whatever you're feeling, you're not alone. There are support groups, networks, and counselors for HIV positive people. One good resource is the HIV Forum, LIAC's workshop for HIV positive people and their friends and families. You can talk to a hotline operator now or later to find out more about what you can do for yourself. If you'd like to talk now, or if you have questions about being HIV positive, please stay on the line.
Okay, we're going to try to go to the second group of messages now. We're not cramming this down your throat or anything, but we just feel that this information is not being broadcast enough.
Choose one of the following messages.
After all, when was the last time you called an AIDS hotline to get information?
HIV, AIDS, and how people don't get HIV, AIDS, press 1. To listen to if you are living with someone who has HIV, AIDS, press 2. To listen to who gets HIV, AIDS on Long Island, press 3. To listen to what does it mean to be HIV positive, press 4. You may also press the star to repeat the last list of main message categories, or the pound sign to repeat this message, or press 0.
We'll hit a star key.
Category group 1. For facts and myths about HIV, AIDS, press 1. For men, sex, and HIV, AIDS, press 2. Message group 2. Men, sex, and HIV, AIDS. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to how men can have safer sex with men, press 1. To listen to how men can have safer sex with women, press 2. You may also press the star to repeat the last list of main message categories.
We'll start with number 1.
To repeat.
How men can have safer sex with men. Before AIDS, we never thought about sex as being safe or unsafe. But now we know that certain ways of having sex spread HIV, the virus thought to cause AIDS. Today we do know that having safer sex has slowed down the spread of HIV. To have safer sex, you need to know what it is and what it isn't. For most of us, it means using American-made latex condoms for anal and oral sex, or whenever semen could touch your partner's mouth or anus. Why? Because HIV lives in semen and in blood, and you need a barrier to keep semen, blood, and skin from touching one another. By acting as a barrier, condoms keep HIV from getting into the bloodstream. They protect you and your partner. Put a condom on when you're hard and keep it on until after you've come. Use a water-based lubricant because oil weakens latex. Use a new condom every time you've come and throw out used ones carefully. To be extra safe, use condoms and lubricants treated with nonoxynil 9, a chemical that kills HIV. During withdrawal, the condom should be held at the base to make sure it doesn't slip off. Keep in mind, although condoms are an effective barrier against the transmission of HIV, condoms must be used carefully and correctly, and that condoms do have a 2 to 4% failure rate. Sex can be even safer if we explore things to do beyond anal and oral sex. The safest sex includes full body massage, mutual masturbation, licking and kissing healthy skin, body-to-body rubbing, external water sports if there are no open sores or cuts on the skin, and using sex toys without sharing them, sharing fantasies, watching one another masturbate. There are things we know that are unsafe. They include licking the anus, putting a hand or fist in the anus, sharing sex toys or needles, getting semen or urine into your mouth, and any kind of intercourse without a condom. Also, it is not safe to have sex when you're drunk or high. You're likely to take chances or think you're safer than you really are. We've come so far since we started having safer sex. Today, it's a healthy, responsible way of life for men who care about themselves and one another. Because we care, we also recognize that having safer sex isn't always easy. Talking about it helps. If you have any questions or just need to talk, stay on the line for a hotline operator, or you can also listen to the other tapes in this series. But if you feel like talking, please stay on the line.
Go to message number 2 next.
Message group 2. Men, sex, and HIV, AIDS. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to how men can have safer sex with men, press 1. To listen to how men can have safer sex with women, press 2.
Message number two, how men can have safer sex with women. HIV, the virus thought to cause AIDS, is spread during unprotected sex. Safer ways to have sex are those that keep HIV from spreading from partner to partner. After several years of keeping statistics on HIV, we know that safer sex has helped to slow down the AIDS epidemic. Safer sex works. The safest sex of all doesn't involve penetration. This includes masturbation for yourself and your partner, body-to-body rubbing, kissing healthy skin, massage, using but not sharing clean sex toys, and talking and fantasizing about sex. Wet kissing is probably safe if neither partner has cuts or sores in the mouth. Otherwise, protect yourself when having vaginal or oral sex by using an American-made latex condom. Having oral sex with a woman is safest if the area around her vagina is covered with a piece of unlubricated latex, like a condom cut lengthwise. Latex protects both of you because it acts as a barrier between skin and HIV-infected semen, blood, or vaginal secretions. But it's not foolproof. Condoms must be used very carefully because they can break, tear, or come off during sex. Put one on before you enter, then take it off after you've withdrawn. The condom should be held at the base of the penis to make sure it doesn't slip off during withdrawal. Use a new one every time from beginning to end. And to be safest, use condoms and water-based lubricants treated with non-oxynol 9, a chemical that helps to kill HIV. Unsafe sex is any kind of intercourse without a condom. Putting a hand or fist in the vagina or anus is also very risky, as is oral rectal sex. Intercourse during a woman's period is also risky. All of these sexual behaviors spread HIV. If you're married or in a relationship and you also have sex with other people, use condoms with everyone. It can be very awkward to start using condoms in a long-term relationship, but it's a safe and responsible thing to do. Perhaps you've tested negative for HIV. That's not a guarantee to practice unsafe sex. You can still be infected with HIV after the test. A test result is no protection against AIDS. Safer sex is. With some common sense and some imagination, you can have safer sex. If you have questions about safer sex, or you'd just like to talk about it, please stay on the line for a hotline operator.
All right, we're going to move into message base number three, I guess. We're listening to an AIDS hotline here on WUSB.
And HIV.
And we'll move into message base number three.
To listen to how many...
Again, this phone number is 516-385-2437 if you want to go through this yourself. You need a touch-tone phone, though.
...with women, press 2. You may also press the star to repeat the last list of main message categories. Category Group 1. For facts and myths about HIV, AIDS, press 1. For men, sex, and HIV, AIDS, press 2. For women, children, and HIV, AIDS, part 1, press 3. Message Group 3. Women, children, and HIV AIDS, part 1. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to symptoms of HIV in women, press 1. To listen to how women can have safer sex with men, press 2. To listen to how women can have safer sex with women, press 3. To listen to helping yourself, press 4. You may also press the star to repeat the last list of main message categories, or the pound sign to repeat this message.
All right, we'll start with message number one.
Message number one, symptoms of HIV/AIDS in women. Women get all the same symptoms of HIV infection and AIDS that men do, and more. Common signs of infection in both women and men include swollen glands in the neck, armpits, or groin, unexplained fevers or weight loss, constant tiredness, diarrhea that doesn't go away, and confusion or forgetfulness.
Having AIDS means you have one of the diseases on the federal government's list of guidelines for diagnosing AIDS. These include pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, esophageal candidiasis or extensive thrush, cryptococcal meningitis, toxoplasmosis, lymphomas, and wasting syndrome, to name just a few. There are over 40 diseases named in the government's guidelines, but women also get other symptoms that aren't on the list. Many concerned people are working hard to get the guidelines changed so that women can be more accurately diagnosed and treated for all HIV-related illnesses. Meanwhile, we know that women's symptoms of infection can include debilitating yeast infections in the vagina that don't go away with treatment, abnormal bleeding and changes in your menstrual period, pelvic inflammatory disease, a discolored vaginal discharge, thick or thin with an odor, sores, bumps, or warts on or in the vagina or anus, an abnormal pap smear, an infection with other sexually transmitted diseases such as herpes, chlamydia, syphilis, and gonorrhea. If you have any of these symptoms, get checked by a doctor. They could be caused by any number of diseases, but they could also be signs of HIV infection. Not all doctors know that women can have different symptoms of HIV, but don't let that stop you from getting help. LIAC has a book you can share with your doctor explaining HIV infection in women. This book, Women and AIDS, will also help you understand HIV. You can ask the hotline operator for a copy. You can also ask the hotline operator for referrals to doctors and clinics, or you can just talk if you need to. You might also want to listen to some of the other tapes in this series. If you want to speak to an operator, please stay on the line.
Okay, next we'll go to message number two. We're listening to an AIDS hotline, going through it step by step so that everybody hears what they want to hear.
Children and HIV AIDS, part one. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to symptoms of HIV in women, press one. To listen to how women can have safer sex with men, press two.
Number two, how women can have safer sex with men. If you have vaginal, anal, or oral sex with an HIV-positive man, and if he doesn't use a condom, you can get HIV. This doesn't mean you have to stop having sex. You just need to expand your ideas about sex and what it means to you. You don't have to have intercourse or oral sex to be sexy and romantic. Sex is also intimacy. It is sharing and enjoying one another's bodies. Your entire body is sexual, from your face to your toes. The safest sex takes advantage of this. Examples of safe and sexy intimacy include kissing, massage, fantasizing together, body-to-body rubbing, masturbating one another, or watching each other masturbate, using sex toys with condoms, cuddling and hugging. If you're going to have vaginal or anal intercourse, your best protection is to use an American-made latex condom with a spermicide containing non-oxynol 9, a chemical that kills HIV. Make sure the condom goes on when the penis is hard and before it comes near your vagina, anus, or mouth. Pre-cum contains HIV. Make sure your partner holds the condom in place while he withdraws, before his penis begins to go soft. Otherwise, the condom could fall off inside you. If you use a lubricant, use water-based jellies. Oil-based jellies can weaken the condom. Don't use saliva for lubrication. If you're having anal sex, use lots of lubricant because the extra friction can break a condom. And if your partner goes from anus to vagina or mouth, change the condom in between. Use condoms for oral sex, too. If your partner goes down on you, cover your vagina with a latex barrier. You can cut an unlubricated condom the long way and use that. Rinse it before use. Use the same kind of barrier for oral anal sex. Remember to change them if your partner goes from anus to vagina. Safer sex gets easier when you talk about it with your partner. Bringing it up might feel awkward or frightening. If you're having trouble, try talking about it first with a good friend and pick the right time to talk. If you're in bed, it could be too late. Finally, if you just can't bring it up, try leaving a packet of condoms out in clear view near the bed. If your partner refuses to use a condom, be sure to at least use a water-based jelly with non-oxynol 9. It won't work as well as a condom, but it will help. If you're afraid your partner might be violent, call one of the hotlines for abused women. Listen to the tape called Resources for Women for more information. The most important part of protecting yourself is caring enough about yourself to do it. You might not be used to putting yourself first, but HIV is a matter of life and death. Your life is worth it. If you have questions or if you just need to talk to someone right now, please stay on the line for a hotline operator.
And again, the phone number for this hotline is 516-385-2437. By far the best of the hotlines available at 2 o'clock in the morning. We'll listen to message number 3 next, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook.
To listen to Symptoms of HIV in Women, press 1. To listen to How Women Can Have Safer Sex with Men, press 2. To listen to How Women Can Have Safer Sex with Women, press 3.
Number 3, How Women Can Have Safer Sex with Women. Lesbians do get HIV. If you're a lesbian, you can get HIV just like anyone else. It's what you do, not who you are, that puts you at risk. Most women are at some risk for HIV, and that includes lesbians. Most lesbians who are at risk for getting HIV have used IV drugs and shared needles or works with someone who is infected. Others are at risk through sex. You can get HIV if infected vaginal secretions, blood, or semen come in contact with your vagina, mouth, or anus. This can happen by having unprotected sex with a woman who was infected by having sex with an infected man. This is more common than you might think. Many women who see themselves as lesbians have had sex with men in the past. These women are at risk. It is also risky to have unprotected oral sex with an infected partner, especially during her menstrual period, and to share vibrators and other sex toys. Safer sex for women starts with talking about it. It can improve your relationship and put you at ease. It's perfectly safe to hug, massage, masturbate, rub against, and kiss one another. Remember that your whole body is sexual, from your face to your toes. Every bit of you can be romantic and sexy and safe. When you have oral sex, use a latex barrier, especially during your period. Use clean sex toys and cover them with a new condom before each use. If one of you has cuts on your hands, wear latex finger cots or gloves for touching your partner's vagina or anus. Change them if you move from vagina to anus or anus to vagina. Some lesbians conceive children by artificial insemination, either through a sperm bank or at home. If you use a sperm bank, be sure to ask if the semen was tested for HIV. Artificial insemination at home with untested semen is dangerous. Lesbians who have had a blood transfusion before March 1985 are also at risk. If you ever have unprotected sex with a man, you are at risk. Finally, S&M activities that involve the exchange of blood and vaginal secretions can also spread HIV. If you're worried about HIV, there's help for you from people who care. Stay on the line to talk with a hotline operator, or you can call one of the numbers on the tape called Resources for Women.
Okay, we're going to hear the last message in this series, message number 4.
Message group 3, Women, Children, and HIV/AIDS, part 1. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to Symptoms of HIV in Women, press 1. To listen to How Women Can Have Safer Sex with Men, press 2. To listen to How Women Can Have Safer Sex with Women, press 3. To listen to Helping Yourself, press 4.
Message number 4, Helping Yourself. Whenever you find out you have HIV infection, whether you feel fine or sick, you can begin to take charge of your life. Whatever happened in the past is past. You can go on from here, and you are not alone. People can survive for many years with HIV infection.
You could be one of them. You can help yourself by getting the best possible support and treatment, by keeping the best possible attitude, by giving yourself the best possible nutrition and exercise, by helping yourself. Getting help is essential. You don't have to face HIV infection alone. Ask a family member or friend for help. Join a support group. Talk to a LIAC case manager. At the same time, start to let go of people in situations that make you feel worse. This can be very hard to do, but it's time to put yourself first. Those who really care about you will understand. Good medical treatment is available on Long Island. Take advantage of it. See a doctor regularly and become involved in your treatment program. Be sure you feel comfortable with your doctor, that you trust your doctor, and get good answers to questions. Pay attention to your body, how you feel before, during, and after treatment, and if you have even minor symptoms. Learning about your body can help you and the doctor head off infections early. A good diet and exercise will nourish you and give you needed energy. They are as important as medication. You don't have to become a vegetarian or a marathon runner, but you do need to find out what makes you feel better and what makes you feel worse, and then do what makes you feel better. For instance, some women find that yeast infections get worse if they eat lots of sugar. Others find that yoga or swimming are what they need to relax and sleep. Follow some common sense rules like washing fruits and vegetables, avoiding raw eggs, meat, and fish, and exercising moderately. Many survivors think their attitude has a lot to do with their health. When you have HIV infection, it's time to put yourself first. It's time to stand up for yourself. This can be very hard for many women. Your world puts women last, and many of us accept that. But if you have HIV infection, you risk your life when you put yourself last. It might seem impossible to take care of yourself when you have a sick family or when you're a single mother. But if you don't take care of yourself first, you soon won't be able to take care of anyone else. Nurturing your family is a wonderful thing. You can continue doing so if you nurture yourself first. Remember, there is help for you. Listen to the tape called Resources for Women to get names and phone numbers. LIAC offers support groups, crisis counseling, case management, and help with transportation, food, and more. To learn more about LIAC services, or if you just need to talk, please stay on the line for a hotline operator.
If you have a Tell HIV AIDS card, enter the message number, or for a list of message groups, press the pound sign. Category Group 1. For facts and myths about HIV, AIDS, press 1. For men, sex, and HIV, AIDS, press 2. For women, children, and HIV, AIDS, part 1, press 3. For women, children, and HIV, AIDS, part 2, press 4. Group 4, Women, Children, and HIV, AIDS, Part 2. To listen to Helping Your Children, press 1. You may...
Message number 1, Helping Your Children. Women with HIV infection often have children. Sometimes the children have HIV infection as well. Sometimes they're healthy. It's hard enough to deal with HIV infection on your own. But when you also have to care for your children, it's really important to get help. With proper help, you can keep things together for yourself and your kids. Stay on the line to talk to a hotline operator or listen to the tape called Resources for Women. Counseling and other kinds of support are available for you. You might not know whether your children have HIV infection. Most children with HIV were infected before or during birth. A few become infected during breastfeeding. Some received infected blood or blood products before March 1985. Some were infected sexually by an adult.
tests can't tell whether a baby is HIV positive or negative for the first 18 months after birth. After that time, a test is accurate. Infants and young children with HIV infection are often sick with many kinds of illnesses and grow slowly, get repeated lung infections, and are often hyperactive. Older children can get all the same symptoms as adults. Listen to the tape called Warning Signs to hear more about these symptoms. If you think your child might be infected, get help right away from a doctor or clinic. Don't put it off, because early treatment can make a difference. At home, use common sense rules of cleanliness like washing your hands. You don't have to be afraid of sharing things, and your kids need and deserve lots of love and hugs and kisses. They won't infect other kids by playing with them. Help them feel as normal as possible. Many women find it hard to talk with their children about HIV infection. If you're having trouble, get help. Talking with counselors and other mothers can help you find the best way and time to talk. You'll do better if you're prepared and not caught off guard. Then you can look for an opening from the children and talk about it a little bit at a time. It helps to tell each child alone if you can. Keep it simple and be easy on yourself. There's no right or easy way to talk about HIV infection. There are also legal issues facing mothers with HIV, like guardianship for their children. Talk to LIAC's legal clinic, or listen to the tapes in this series about the legal clinic. Remember to get help. Don't try to carry this load alone. If you'd like to talk, please stay on the line for a hotline operator.
Group 4, Women, Children, and HIV/AIDS, Part 2. To listen to Helping Your Children, press 1. You may also press the star to repeat the last list of main message categories, or the pound sign to repeat this message, or press 0 to speak with a hotline operator. Category Group 1. For facts and myths about HIV/AIDS, press 1. For men, sex, and HIV/AIDS, press 2. For women, children, and HIV/AIDS, part 1, press 3. For women, children, and HIV/AIDS, part 2, press 4. Press 9 for the next group of message categories. Category Group 2. For drug use, alcohol, and HIV/AIDS, press 1. For HIV/AIDS testing, press 2. For if you think you have HIV/AIDS, press 3. Press 7 for the previous group of message categories, or press 9 for the next group of categories. Message Group 1. Drug use, alcohol, and HIV/AIDS. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to What's the Connection, press 1. To listen to If You Share Needles, press 2. To listen to Safer Sex and Substance Abuse, press 3. To listen to Coping with Two Diseases, press 4. You may also press the star to repeat the last list of main message categories, or the pound sign to repeat this message, or press 0 to speak with a hotline operator. Please make your selection now.
Okay, what we're going to do now is just sort of ramble through the system and see how many other messages there are.
HIV/AIDS.
Quite a few here, though. Again, this phone number is 385-2437, area code 516. You need a touch-tone phone, but it's probably your best bet if you want information on AIDS at after hours.
Press 7 for the previous group of message categories, or press 9 for the next group of categories. Category Group 3. For LIAC's Legal Clinic, Part 1, press 1. For LIAC's Legal Clinic, Part 2, press 2. For
For LIAC volunteer opportunities, press 3. Press 7 for the previous group of message categories, or press 9 for the next group of categories.
Category Group 4. For important telephone numbers, press 1. Press 7 for the previous group of message categories. You may also press the pound sign to repeat this message, or press 0 to speak with a hotline operator. Please make your selection now.
Okay, let's hear those important phone numbers.
Message Group 1. Important telephone numbers. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to Resources for Men Who Have Sex with Men, press 1. To listen to Resources for Women, press 2. To listen to Resources for Substance Users, press 3. To listen to Other Legal Resources, press 4. You may also press the star to...
Message number 1, Resources for Men Who Have Sex with Men. If you want to know more about safer sex, or if you just need to talk, use this hotline. You can call during the week from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and speak with a trained volunteer. You can also find out about LIAC's Gay and Lesbian Outreach Committee. Promoting and teaching about safer sex is one of the goals of this active, creative group of men and women. Please ask a hotline operator about this and other LIAC programs. Other agencies that provide counseling and support for healthy sexual behavior are the Lesbian and Gay Community Service Centers of Long Island, 379-9017, and New York City, 212-620-7310. The Gay Men's Health Crisis at 212-807-6655. The Gay and Lesbian Switchboard at 212-777-1800. The National Gay and Lesbian Switchboard at 800-767-4297. The Gay Men's Group of Long Island at 694-2407. And the Gay Alliance of Stony Brook University at 632-6469. Remember, you can also talk to a LIAC hotline volunteer for support, information, and referrals. We understand your needs and concerns, and we're glad you want to know more about safer sex. It shows you're responsible. It shows you care. Be proud of yourself for making this call. If you want to talk now, please stay on the line.
Message Group 1. Important telephone numbers. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to Resources for Men Who Have Sex with Men, press 1. To listen to Resources for Women, press 2.
Message number 2. Resources for Women. If you have HIV infection, you need and deserve help. Don't try and do everything alone. There's good help available, and it can make a tremendous difference for you. LIAC provides a wide range of services, including support groups, a legal clinic, case management, crisis counseling, advocacy, drug and alcohol referrals, transportation, and more. Stay on the line to get help from us. LIAC has a book called Women and AIDS, which is full of information for women with HIV infection. You can ask the hotline operator for a free copy. This book also has a resource directory listing dozens of organizations that we don't have time to mention here. For emergency food, call Catholic Charities at 789-5236. If you've been abused or threatened, or if you need shelter, call the Coalition of Abused Women, 582-0404 in Nassau, or VIBES at 360-3606 in Suffolk. If you're very anxious or suicidal, call Middle Earth Switchboard, 689-1111 in Nassau, or Response, 751-7500 in Suffolk. Lesbians can also call the National AIDS Hotline at 800-342-2437.
the National Gay and Lesbian Hotline at 800-767-4297. The People with AIDS Coalition at 756-2355. And the Lesbian Switchboard at 212-741-2610. Again, LIAC's book, Women and AIDS, has an extensive resource directory. Stay on the line to request a copy, and please stay on if you have any questions or if you just need to talk.
Message Group 1. Important telephone numbers. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to Resources for Men Who Have Sex with Men, press 1. To listen to Resources for Women, press 2. To listen to Resources for Substance Users, press 3.
Message number 3, Resources for Substance Users. There are many places on Long Island where substance users can get different kinds of support. Some of these places also offer HIV-related services because many of their clients are HIV positive. Here at LIAC, we've expanded our resources for chemically dependent clients. We have case managers who are also alcoholism and drug counselors. We offer support groups for symptomatic HIV-positive people in recovery from substance abuse. We have publications describing effective medical treatment for HIV-positive, chemically-dependent people and more. To become a LIAC client, or for details about these and other programs, please stay on the line and talk with a hotline operator. If you are in need of support pertaining to alcohol and drug issues, call Alcoholics Anonymous. In Nassau, their hotline number is 292-3040. Alcoholics Anonymous in Suffolk has a hotline number 654-1124. In Nassau County, the intergroup number is 292-3045. And in Suffolk County, the Suffolk intergroup number is 654-1150. In Nassau County, the Al-Anon number is 222-0556, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. In Suffolk County, the Al-Anon number is 654-2827, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Narcotics Anonymous number is 937-6262. The number for Naranon is 212-496-4341. DSAS has a 24-hour drug information line, and it's bilingual. The number is 800-522-5353. The New York State Council on Alcoholism and Other Drugs has a 24-hour hotline. It's also bilingual. The number is 800-ALL-CALLS, 800-ALCALLS. If you are in need of immediate detoxification and support, in Nassau County, call the New Hope Crisis Center. Their number is 794-0160. In Suffolk County, call Talbot House Crisis Center at 589-4144. If you are in need of detoxification, call the Altox program during regular business hours in Nassau County. The Nassau County Medical Center Detox Unit at 542-2394 between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. and 542-2655 after 8 p.m. or Central General Hospital Detox Unit at 681-8900. Listen to the menu, dial the number for the admitting office, wait for the number for detox admitting. In Suffolk County, call Southside Hospital Detox Unit 968-3492 between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. or the South Oaks Hospital, the Robbins Rehabilitation Center at 264-4000
between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. You dial the number for the admitting office or call the 24-hour South Oaks hotline at 800-732-9808. If you have difficulty, you may want to go to your local hospital emergency room for detoxification. Finally, we're here at the hotline to talk with you, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. any weekday. When you need help, you can give us a call. If you need help right now, please stay on the line.
Message group 1. Important telephone numbers. Choose one of the following messages. To listen to Resources for Men Who Have Sex with Men, press 1. To listen to Resources for Women, press 2. To listen to Resources for Substance Users, press 3. To listen to Other Legal Resources, press 4.